B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley.
I can't get any peace.
Solace. I seek solace. Solace, as in S-O-L-A-C-E. I seek it. I crave it. I need it. I can't take this. So last night, I'm like, oh, this is great. I want to spend my MLK evening with a little Flyers hockey. Oh, this is just awful. You know, clunker, right? Clunker. Anyway, you get it back tonight. I kind of like these, the NHL schedule, where you have back-to-backs. It makes you chippy. It's pretty good. So anyway, but last night was a clunker. But I'm not worried about the Flyers. I'm worried about the other teams. And when it comes to and the saga of the Eagles and the Eagles coaching search continues. So it appeared as though they were honing in on Josh McDaniels, right? Like, it appeared like it was really serious. It's been all day. And now they're going to interview the defensive coordinator from the Colts. Like, really? I understand due diligence, but here's something that really concerns me. Their job is not a high sought after job. Now, I'm not saying you can't get anybody to coach, but I think something very important came down yesterday out of Buffalo. Brian Daboll, who I had spoken about long before the coaching search, when Doug Peterson was still the coach, is a guy I really like. Now, you've seen him a lot lately because he's been featured. He, of course, is the guy that resuscitated Josh Allen's career. Or he built him, right? He turned the raw block of granite, and he was able to turn him into a work of art, right? An amazing job that he did with Josh Allen. And so I thought, well, listen, Wentz is completely off the tracks. A guy like Daboll, since Allen is a comp, maybe a guy like him comes in and can fix him. And I like Daboll a lot. He's a guy that worked under Saban. He worked under Belichick. He's a Buffalo guy. He's from up New York State. You know, he's an East Coast gritty fella, family guy. I thought he would really get Philadelphia. Like, as guys, like, I thought, you know what? He'd be really suited well for Philadelphia. Well, he comes out yesterday. He's going back to Buffalo. He's not interested in the Eagles' job. Now, that's a big deal. That a guy like him, and these coaches, I know a lot about this stuff, right? When it comes to choosing jobs and how these mindset. Like, I remember talking to Spags, and, you know, when he was hot, and he was the defensive coordinator. You remember he wins the Super Bowl with the Giants. And he got all kinds of offers. Like, they were like, he was the hot name, man. And that's how it's a very fickle business, with these coaches. So he's the hot name. So it's funny. We talked about it. Had he done it over, and he would not have taken the Rams job. He just thought, well, all right, well, I'll go in there and you know, the first pick, I mean, I'll start from scratch and build the thing. The problem was the roster was so bad, and ownership was looking to move the franchise to Los Angeles, which, as you know, it did. So he was it turned out to be a bad job. And he was like, man, I'll tell you, had I do it over again, I would not do it. And that's been over the last 10 years, a lot of these coaches, they talk to one another. It's a great fraternity. There's an agent, Bob Lamont, who's Andy's agent, who's a lot of Andy's Tree's agent, right? All those guys. And, you know, they vet jobs. But especially if the guy's hot, he goes, do I want to go there? Is that a place for me to start my head coaching career? And the fact that he didn't choose Philadelphia and has no interest in the Eagles job speaks volumes. And Brian Daboll's, what he said yesterday, not being interested in Eagles job, should make Jeffrey Lurie sit up in his chair. It really should. Because the Eagles are, it's a huge market. It's a big time football town. There is a lot to go. It's a great place to coach. I know the fans, how we are, and media and all that stuff. But listen, it's a great place to coach. Here's the issue. No coach like Brian Daboll wants to come here and have to deal with a meddlesome owner and a GM with all the power. You want to know why Brian Daboll did not take the Eagles job seriously? That's it. All right? That's it. So they need to curtail that. They have to curtail that, or they're not going to get the best candidates. That, my friends, speaks volumes. And I want to discuss this. Where to head? Where you go? Like, if I'm Daboll, I go, I got an owner that's meddlesome. GM's got a lot of pull. Who works in consortium with the owner. The quarterback situation's muddy, and it's bad cap. So that's the stew. That's not a tasty stew. That's a bad stew. And that's why he's not coming here. And I don't know, maybe Josh McDaniels does not want to come here. I don't know. It's interesting. Why, now they're interviewing the Colts defensive coordinator? Really? Offensive coordinator, excuse me. I mean, that says something. I just heard the report this morning. So that says something. Anyway, we'll get into it. We'll discuss that. Today, I have a favor. I'm going to tell you a story. In a little bit, about a friend of mine who I got a harrowing phone call from, and it freaked me out. And it's been a really rough kind of couple weeks, as it has been all for all of us. So I can't go into the bleakness that is completely Philadelphia sports. I mean, this Eagles thing, it could be bad around here. And we're not used to being bad. The one thing, and I'll praise Jeffrey Lurie, I mean, they've been good for 20 years. Even when they weren't good and they fired Chip Kelly, well, there was excitement because going into the 2016 season, you had Carson Wentz. You had the rookie franchise quarterback. So there was a reason to watch. When they moved on from Andy, they were still a decent team, and Chip comes in and they make the playoffs the first year. And he was so different. So there was a reason to watch. So if they hire some coordinator to come in, knowing that the quarterback situation's muddy, knowing that you have cap issues, they may not be good. Like, for a couple years. Now, the NFL's built that if you do things right, you can turn it around pretty quickly. But make no mistake, guys. This goes back to, like, old school, before I was born type of thing, where they were horrible and they were a mock. And they could be that bad next year. And I don't know how we're going to handle it. So today, I got to enlist you to come up with 10 things that are positive in Philadelphia sports, because I can't go deep into the muck. I don't have the mindset for it today. Good morning, Chunas.
What's up, man? Good luck. No, I'm kidding. We can find 10 things.
I don't think so. But
yes, we can.
Yeah.
Well, I had one that in my mind right
away. There's a couple that come to your mind right away, but after that, it gets lean.
Yeah, we'll get to 10. We'll figure it out. Right. Cam Johnson had a good year as the punter.
No, it's not. I'm going to be judicial.
Okay.
Like, you just don't get anything. I will say no.
You're not going to give me Cam Johnson?
No.
Okay, good.
What do you make of the idea that Daboll does not want to come here?
It's terrifying because, you know, yesterday when we were talking about Josh McDaniels, what was I bashing Josh McDaniels for? Well, he had all kinds of other issues, but one of the things I didn't like was he got a head coaching job and demoted himself to being an offensive coordinator, right? Brian Daboll's showing no interest right off the bat with the Eagles, right? He's looking at all this stuff. I'm sure he's talking to some people and they're doing some, you know, digging for him as well. And they probably go, dude, you don't want this job. And then he probably asked himself, all right, what would I rather have right now? The potential of a terrible job in Philadelphia or stay with my cushy job here in Buffalo where they're going to be good again next year and I'm going to get looks again next year? Because he will. He's still going to be the number one candidate next year. It's not like he's going to, you know, fall from grace because he didn't take a job this year. So it shows a lot. It shows just how bad this spot is in Philadelphia right now that one of the top candidates that makes perfect sense isn't even showing interest. So it makes me scared, man. I look at this Eagles team and I go, are we going to be doing another coaching search 2-3 years from now? Are they just going to do a safe hire? Are they just going to say, hey, Deuce, it's your time. You know, prove us what you can do. And hey, I'll be rooting for Deuce. Go for it. But you know how I feel about a guy getting a job just because people are comfortable with his name. Like, I look at some of these possible candidates that are still out there, and I'm not thrilled with any of them. Would you be excited for Todd Bowles to get hired? I know he's a great football guy. I know he's been around the league for a while. He knows people.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I mean, Temple Todd, I you know, I'll be honest. Yeah. I got some pride, Temple Todd.
Of course. It's not like his first time around worked out, but all right, you know, maybe second time around he does a better job.
No, I hear you. I get your point. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think
you don't want to talk about the bleak state of Philadelphia sports, but you can't help it with this coaching search.
I hear you.
The candidate that you've been talking about him since middle of the season, right? Like we weren't even talking about him after the season ended. You've been talking about Brian Daboll since the middle of the season when you sort of had that, you know, that feeling, wow, oh my God, Josh Allen is their Carson Wentz. There's the comp right there. And he's not even interested. And then after that, I'm not interested in anybody else. That's the problem. All these other guys that are out there, you go, you know, all right, I guess you got to give him a shot. Josh McDaniels was the top of the list yesterday, and I wasn't thrilled about that either. This makes it worse.
I hear you. I hear you.
Because there are going to be guys that go,
because
I don't want to tarnish my name.
So Daboll goes, huh, because he wanted the Chargers job with Herbert.
Right.
But when that goes internal to Brandon Staley, he then goes, nah, I'm going back to Buffalo. Because it's the Texans and the Eagles.
Right. And people are saying the Texans may be a worse more spot than the Eagles because they don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson.
I mean, that's stunning to me.
Yeah, it's got
to
be eye-opening for the
stunning to me that Daboll would go, nah, thanks anyway. Like the Eagles, I always thought were a top 10 NFL franchise, right? They might not have been the gold standard.
Right.
But you got to give them credit. They were still, if you give me the storied franchises, right? Cowboys, Steelers.
Niners.
Raiders. I don't know. Dolphins. Nah.
I wouldn't go Dolphins anymore. No. Yeah.
Packers. Who else? I mean, the Eagles got to be in the top 10.
Yeah, they should definitely be in the conversation. Remember we played that fun game during the pandemic where we put together the point system?
Yeah, yes.
And the Eagles were number 3.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
In terms of success over the last 20 years.
That's what I mean. Like, Bears, I mean, that's a great franchise.
Right.
Story, Chicago, the whole thing. What, are you kidding me, though? I mean, the Eagles are should be a top 5-7.
And this is why Jeffrey Lurie...
Like, they should be... A destination.
Yeah, but Jeffrey Lurie screwed it up. He didn't fire Howie. Nobody wants to work with this dude. I feel like he's got a bad rep around the league. Well, other GMs, I don't think, like him.
I also think that people go, yeah, like a guy like Dable says, I you know, if I'm going to do this,
I want to call the shots.
I want to call the shot. Yes.
And plus, he also doesn't want to be tarnished his first time. I know guys get second opportunities in the league, but there's some guys that don't get second opportunities.
Hey,
right?
I tell you about Spags all the time.
So Brian Dable comes here and it doesn't go well and it's a total mess and then maybe he never gets a shot again. So maybe he looks at it as, I want to go to what I believe will be the best opportunity for me to really grow. And it might not be here. And that's why he's saying that he's not even interested.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Jeff.
I can't believe how far they have fallen. Just around the league.
They're going to bring Doug back. Watch.
I can't believe how far they've fallen. And I hear you. When you look at all the candidates, you go, well, who do you want? You know, do you want that guy?
Yeah, that guy's interesting, I guess.
Like, there's a lot of lukewarm. There's no one you go, yes, I'm excited.
Right, like, I'm not going to hate a Todd Bowles hiring, but I'm not going to be...
No, I convince myself. I go, well, I like Todd.
Yeah.
Temple Todd, you know, that's cool. But no, but like that's it.
I'm not going to go Super Bowls, you know, with Todd Bowles. Not doing that. Not celebrating.
I have an answer.
What do you
Although
got?
Although it would never work. I have a strategy, but it would never work.
Are you trading?
Yeah.
Who?
Well,
Reich?
I'll never forget. I was talking to a friend of mine who was with the Raiders, and they had when Tampa traded for Gruden.
Right.
Which was an amazing story.
Right.
Like, they're actually trading for
a bunch of picks and, yeah.
Right? Like, it was wild.
Well, remember, there was the early rumor this year, or like a few weeks ago, that Doug might get traded to the Jets. And you're like, what?
Yeah, well, that was stupid.
I said that was the best, that would have been the best trade Howie ever made.
Come on. Whoever concocted that stuff was
right.
Doing so with the cure leaf. Come on, man. Stop. We were going to trade for him. Doug didn't even get an interview.
No. Watch. The Eagles are going to hire the Colts OC, and he's going to be the OC for Frank Reich.
Like, who in the world, why would you want to hire, why would you interview the Colts offense coordinator when Reich's the guy?
It's the same thing with the Chiefs, right? You go, yeah. Hey, listen, Bieniemy may have a genius mind, but Andy's calling all the shots out there. It's the same reason why I didn't want Kafka.
I know. It's crazy. All right. We got lots to dive into. And I got to tell you a story that kind of shook my world. And, you know, listen, we share things and sometimes it goes beyond sports. So it's a little message that I want to kind of talk to you about and see what you guys are thinking. But the business at hand right now, this football team, does anybody want the job? I'm shocked.
You could fix it. I believe in you, Ant.
I think so.
You should throw your name in there.
Well, I know what I would do. I'll tell you what I would do. It sounds stupid, but I would do whatever I could to trade for Matt Rhule.
Of course.
You know I would do that. And here's my belief that he would want to come here as long as there was a path.
Right.
And he didn't have to work for anybody.
Yeah. Well, Howie for Rhule straight up. Is that a deal you could make?
That's funny. All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. We're just getting started on a Tuesday. Eagles. Still no coach. Hey, start the new year off right. Lose contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in a mere 40 days with NJ Diet. But again, we talk about NJ Diet and how you can shed pounds. But here's the deal. You're also going to get healthy. Yes. Now, here's what I love about NJ Diet. They first utilize that. They use your hair and saliva samples, and along with bioenergetic scans to personalize natural solutions, supplements, where the side effects weight loss. That's right. NJ Diet utilizes DNA testing to determine your ideal workout regimen, diet-specific needs for essential vitamins, plus many more metabolic factors, so you can keep it off. NJ Diet's all natural, no shots, no hormones, no surgery. Full supervision is provided every step of the way. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet has multiple locations, including close by in Cherry Hill and Princeton. Don't want to leave your house? Don't worry about it. NJ Diet is available worldwide with live online video consultations. It's amazing. Call now. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in a mere 40 days. And it's contractually guaranteed. 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to lose weight for good. That's njdiet.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, coming up at 11:10, we do our morning thoughts, and a little bit later on, 11:40, we will speak to Jeff McClain, who wrote the big piece that everybody has spoken about. Everybody's talking about the Jeff McClain story. We had Rob Mighty on yesterday to talk about it from the Carson side of things. We will talk to Jeff today. And it was interesting because Rob made it sound like Doug and Carson were close.
Yeah, he did.
But I don't know how any of that can be with the way things kind of turned out. Now, you know, it's certainly plausible that the front office steered things in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility, at least when it comes to public consumption. But I don't know.
Or maybe Carson and Doug were tight, but they just couldn't work together. I don't know.
Man, how are you
Ben
tight?
Ben Simmons and Brett Brown were tight, weren't they?
Yeah, but that doesn't fly with me.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that's okay.
In the story, he said he was killing plays on out of spite.
Yes.
If you're really close with somebody, how you killing plays out of spite?
But that was at work. So maybe the working relationship just isn't good.
Yeah, because if you really like someone, you would never do that.
That's true.
You know?
This is a mess, man. This whole thing. Coaches aren't interested in coming here. Quarterback's a mess.
You know, through your whole lifetime, because you really barely remember the late 90s Eagles.
I've been blessed.
The Eagles have been good.
Yeah, I've been blessed when it comes to the Eagles. I know it's only been one Super Bowl, but I saw Super Bowl a lot sooner than a lot of other people. I saw a lot of NFC Championship games. I mean, the Eagles were competitive
teams.
Yeah, it was great. I mean,
interesting teams. I mean, look at the quarterbacks, McNabb.
Well, that's why I still
Michael
have
Vick,
that soft spot in my heart for McNabb, even with all the dumb stuff that he said.
I understand that. Sure.
He was my quarterback as a kid, right? And you know, you talk about your heroes when you were growing up, and they, you know, superheroes like Dr. J.
Yeah,
the things I saw McNabb do on the field when I was a little kid, really getting into sports.
Listen, I love Randall. So
right.
I was a Randall guy.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So, yeah, I've always had good Eagles football. I mean, I've been lucky really in the sports picture in a whole, really. I mean, the Phillies, when they had their run, and Sixers in 01, Flyers early, you know, the early 2000s. But, yeah, when it comes to football, though, 20 years hasn't been that tough being an Eagles fan. Had a couple of down years, but, like, the 1-6-10 season, McNabb had tore his ACL. Like, all right, that happens.
It's amazing. You've been blessed. Other than Sixers in the process, which turned out
but
to
I
be
was,
interesting.
I was pro process, so
yeah. But it was interesting, like how it was,
right?
But other than that, and Flyers, you saw some success. Well, you got the
early
cup run.
Early 2010.
You get the cup run, so you got to see some good stuff out of them. Yeah, no, you've been pretty much blessed.
Yeah, I have been. Everyone my age should be happy with what they've
seen.
But
now you're entering a dark period with the Eagles. And it always makes me think about putting out in the universe one Super Bowl for 10 bad years.
Right.
Are we in the thick of it? Has that come true?
Okay, I'll say this. If Wentz is totally shot, right, like there's no fixing him, then it is. If there's any chance that this new coach, whoever it may be you, because they're interviewing everyone in the damn world, whoever can come in here, if they can fix Wentz, I'll go, all right, well, you got the quarterback, which is the most important position. Now it's time to figure out the rest of the team, which isn't an easy task, but at least you got the quarterback. If he's not fixable, which he very well might be, right? Like, we don't know. You read these stories that are coming out. He's got issues all over the place. Then you're in a tough spot for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because you're not drafting a quarterback at six this year.
I think he's got to get fixed in a big way.
Oh, huge, yeah.
But even then, they still have a dearth of talent. I mean, even if you take the giant leap that he's fixed or he's better.
Yeah.
Right? You still got issues with who's your line.
Your line, your cap, the some of the better players on the team are aging, right? Like Fletcher Cox isn't getting any younger. Brandon Graham's not getting any younger.
They could be bad next year.
I mean, they were bad this year, right?
But they could be, like, going into it, you're going, yeah, there's no hope. How do we approach a season?
Oh, man.
Without any hope?
Man, when's the last time we've had to do
hope
that?
Hope is the lifeblood for a sports fan. And if you go in, you're completely hopeless. That presents a bleak picture.
Yeah, and there's no process, right? It's not like, all right, well, they're doing this for a reason. Now, I'll tell you, last year going to the Philly season,
football's hard to be, to go process.
Right. Going to the Philly season last year, I had no hope. My only hope was, all right, it's a weird 60-game season. Maybe they can figure it out, like what the Marlins ended up doing. I look at the Eagles going into it. I don't think there's some weird reason why they might be able to be good next year. Unless Wentz, as you said, takes this big leap and, Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks stay healthy. So at least you have the right side of the line shored up. And you draft Jamar Chase and now he's got a hookup. And then the defense just does enough where they keep you in games. Because they do have some talent on defense. Some, not much.
Where?
Darius Slay. Fletcher Cox, if he stays healthy. Brandon Graham had a fall off compared to the first half of the season.
I mean, you're giving me older guys.
No,
man.
I know. Well, yeah, it's almost like the
you got right, no can, linebackers.
Can they give me one more year of decent play?
Yeah, dude.
The safety position is terrifying because Rodney McLeod.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on with him?
The other corner spot's bad.
Yes, it is.
Oh, dude, we're in. This is the throes of, hey. Enjoy that memory.
Oh, God.
This is it. This is sell your soul.
Is this season going to be the every Sunday watch the DVD?
I can't do the DVD. It's why I was against this Faustian deal from the beginning.
Yes.
Because the DVD doesn't do me. I'm done. I don't need to see the DVD for another year.
I like, own the DVD.
Like,
honest.
I need time to pass. That I go, I want to get cozy with it again. I'm not interested in getting cozy with it now.
All right, fine. Watch the 08 DVD every Sunday. How's that sound for the Phillies?
No, that doesn't. Here's the problem. It's you'll be watching other teams.
I'll be watching Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
Continuing on as an offensive coordinator.
You'll be watching
the
other teams.
I'll be teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Are we
going to
get word? We need word on the Sixers and the testing.
Yeah, for tomorrow night.
Because I need some Sixers Celtics.
And you want Sixers Celtics with
but
the Sixers.
I want everybody playing.
Right. You don't want Sixers Celtics with Dakota Mathias, who they cut for some reason.
Right.
How dare they?
Let's go kick it off on the phones. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, John. Good morning.
How you doing, cuz?
What's up, my brother?
Not much, same old. I heard that press conference the other day, Lori.
Yes.
And man, he was blowing some real smoke up our butt, I think. He sounds like he was covering for Howie so bad. It was pathetic. And it just makes me sick because I was thinking about it. Howie's his right-hand man. I mean, he takes care of everything for him. You know that I was starting to think about it the other day. What if he's more like, or he's more like Jerry Jones in the background where, you know what, come draft time, I don't care how you do it, but I want this guy. Make sure you get this guy. The rest of the draft is yours. And it kind of makes some of the sense about some of these bad picks that we have.
Yeah.
They always think they're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, they couldn't take Jefferson last year. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
John, you're right.
Everybody.
No, the idea of, and I think you're right. I think they strive to go look at what we did. Right.
Right.
It's egoism.
Yep. I think you're 100% right, cuz. And it just kills me. Because it's like, you know it's coming. It's almost like the year the Jets. Did they take Blair Thomas or something? They were supposed to take Warren Sapp.
Randy Moss, right? All those guys throughout the course of time.
Oh, my God.
Those guys had issues, but... If you look at it.
Yeah, they did. You're right.
But those, you know, or with not even issues, but there was some stuff.
I know what you're saying.
Marino, right. Same thing. All that stuff. Why he went in the second round is ridiculous. But whatever. Your point is right. And that is, I want to go so far outside the box that it makes no common sense.
What if somebody like Marv Levy wants to be the coach? I don't think he would put up with that.
If you got a real job. You know, Marv's 95, but if you have a real coach, if you get a real guy, like if you went to Brian Daboll, let's say you loved Brian Daboll and you wanted Brian Daboll, the only way you get Brian Daboll is if Jeffrey says, hey Brian, come here. And you got complete control. Now, I'd like you to work with Howie.
Right.
But you have complete control.
Final say. You got it all.
And I think you would get Brian Daboll.
You should make the call right now. Hey, we heard you're not interested. Let's try to intrigue you.
But again, like, you got to give him, and you got to go, here's the keys. And then he's got to be able to go, all right, but when I tell you guys no, that's it.
Right, exactly.
It's like the Hurts thing. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, is the definition with overdoing it, overthinking it, trying to become the smartest in the room.
I just want to give you a little heads up or update. John Clark tweeting that the interview with Todd Bowles yesterday apparently went very well, and he's an attractive candidate. It looks like Josh McDaniels is the focus for the Eagles right now, but also he's told Deuce Staley would have an excellent staff of coordinators and coaches if he were to be hired. Here's another concern of mine for the Bowles/Staley thing. So Bowles has a lot of internal support. Deuce Staley's already here. Don't they get overpowered by Howie still?
Yes.
Especially Deuce, right? Hey, this is your first time.
Yes.
Just like Doug.
Yes.
And what did we just deal with the last 4 years?
Yes.
5 years, excuse me.
Yes.
Howie Roseman,
yes,
having a lot of say over Doug Peterson, even on game day decisions.
Yeah.
So will it get any better with Deuce or Todd Bowles? Todd Bowles, longtime football guy, I get it, but internal support, where's that coming from?
I don't know. I don't know if TT says, you know, my guess is you're right. He would still be under their thumb.
So maybe Josh McDaniels goes, nah, I got to say, but does McDaniels have that kind of pedigree?
Well, he could say to those guys, listen, if I come here, the buck stops with me. But here's the bottom line. I don't know about you, but I want my coach to want that. But this whole idea of I just want to coach, come on. You want to be able to pick your players. When I say pick your players, you still have to have a personnel staff. And a personnel director that you're going to work in hand in hand with.
Mm-hmm.
But if it comes down to, like, it's always a collaboration, right? It's always a collaboration. But if you're going to do that, you got to have somebody to say, hey, I'm breaking the tie. Like, Andy broke the tie.
Right. I'm the one coaching these players.
And he's got to go, this is the scheme I want. This is the vision. You have to have a guy who's got a vision, and then he's got to have the players that fits his vision. And that's why I'm anti-GM. I never liked the GM in Green Bay, and I like the GM with the Giants. They had Ernie Corsi, and they did well. But come on, Parcells is the man.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't think it works. I think the coach, I think you need a bright coach, a CEO coach. Look at the best guys. Belichick, Andy. I bring up Matt for a reason. Yo, he's got control. Nobody's telling him what to do.
Right.
He's calling the shots. The more successful teams, yo, Sean's got a lot to say what happens in Buffalo.
Right.
Now, look, they have a great relationship. Right.
Good call, Sean.
They have a great relationship. You know. Let's go to Jeff in Cleveland. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Cuz. How you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
So, this coaching search has been a disaster, but I go back to some of the stuff Larry said when he fired Doug. And he had talked about making the mistakes and some of the fixes they got to do with the roster. It's become clear to me that somehow Howie's got his ear. And while Howie got us into this mess and whoever else was involved in those decisions, Chef or whoever, Howie's going to get some time to fix this roster. And the other part of the equation is now they're going to try and get a quarterback or somebody come in to fix the quarterback because of the contract. And he's not movable. And unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is in 2 years, we're going to be in the same situation, but we're going to be looking for a GM and a coach. The only way I see it, the only thing that is somewhat, you know, positive is if you get a guy like McDaniels or whomever, and if they can fix Wentz, you got part of it fixed. And then you see what the rest of the roster looks like, and maybe McDaniels stays or whoever it is, and they're in place. But I think by Lurie's comments talking about the roster, I don't know how much of that was Jeffrey signing a lot of these guys with Howie's input. But clearly, he's basically said, Howie, you got us here. You're going to get a chance to fix it. But we also can't move the quarterback. And that's where I think a lot of these coaches are probably struggling with and not showing interest because they know they're tied to that and Howie's going to have to redo the roster, which ultimately you're putting, if you're a coach, you're putting the fate of your roster in someone else's hands without, you know, whether you have a say or not. You know it's going to turn
over. That's right.
It's going to turn over. And then if you could fix the quarterback and you're okay, then you survived. But I don't see that happening. I think you're going to get a bad hire. You're just going to get a hire. It's going to be a rough 2 years. You're going to gut the roster, and you're going to open up this search again for a GM and a coach.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do. And you know, do you get the most competent coach when he's got to work under somebody else? Forget like how, you know, perception of Howie Roseman locally or whatever. Just appear. I don't care if it's Howie or some other GM. He's going to go, nah, I want my vision.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Those are the most competent guys. Like, you know, I'm joking around about, like, if it were me, I'd trade for Matt Rhule, right? I don't care. I would give the number six pick up for Matt Rhule. I would. I would do that. Because you know why? I would have stability if I did that. And I'd have a guy, I'd go, here, Matt, run the show. I want you to rebuild this thing from scratch. Yeah. And I don't care if I got to go 2 years in the hole. All I know is I've righted the ship with a guy that has a clue.
But I think they've gotten too attached to Carson to know that they've got to try and fix him, and they want that to be priority one. Because if you're a coach coming in, you see these candidates, what optimism do you have coming in as a coach? Like, why is this an enticing job? The only thing would be the Carson Wentz part of it. It's pretty much been said that you got to turn this roster over. So you know you're walking into a bleak situation these other jobs, you got a clean slate to work with and try and build. This, it's like there's zero optimism.
I completely agree. I completely agree. Yes, Jeff.
We're going to be here in 2 years, man, 2 years. And I mean, and I'm assuming that you're going to purge most of this roster.
You have to. It's on the other side of 30. Yeah. Your best guys are on the other side of 30.
Yeah, you got to move everybody. And it's a trade-off. I mean, you're going to sign some young guys. But, I mean, you know, if you can get another second from Miles Sanders, you're going to have to pay him anyway. Why not? You got to look at everything.
I agree.
I'm not paying a running back. I don't care. If I can get a third for Lane.
Because your point is dead right, Jeff. And thank you. That if you look at a running back and you look at the lifespan of a running back, by the time you're good again, Sanders could be not half shot, but on the other side of it.
Maybe that's why they're not using them. They're saving them up.
Right.
But I get what you're saying.
But here's the thing. And this is what is I think, escaping those guys. They need a complete overhaul.
Yep.
A complete overhaul. Let's be real here for a second. And that might include just trading Wentz. Because here's the and biting the bullet anyway.
Right.
Because here's the deal. Say when you fix Wentz to the point where he's good. All right? He's not like, you know, Rodgers, but he's good. All right? With this roster, how good can he be?
Yeah, I mean, it would take a couple more years. Right? And now all of a sudden you're talking, he's 32, 31, 32 when you're finally doing that. And it's like, all right, that's still young. But you have to hit on all these draft picks, which... That doesn't happen here in Philadelphia.
I mean, that's a whole piece of it. You're in such, these drafts have put you behind the eight ball in such a big way.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about drafting a wide receiver with the top pick for the first year.
You don't have a pass rusher.
No.
You like Sweat a little bit, but he's not an anchor.
Well, he's also not an every down guy. He could be, but we haven't seen it.
And BG's a, you know, let's face it, BG is, we love him, but, you know, I mean,
he's getting out there.
How long are you gonna rely on him? You're going to bring Barnett back? You're going to pay him?
No.
What did he show you?
Not enough.
You got no linebackers. Your tackles, you know, again, they're good, but, you know.
Javon Hargrave was not game-breaking.
Right.
He had a few good weeks.
And Fletcher Cox, to me, is still a dynamic player, but.
Yes.
Again, how long does that last?
And we always talk about, oh, well, Fletcher Cox gets double teamed, which is good for the guys on the outside. But like you said, if they're not getting home.
Right, that's your defense. And by the way, you don't have a defense coordinator, so that's your defense. Offensive line, Lane coming off a series of injuries.
Yep. Brooks, third straight. Three straight season-ending injuries.
Right, your center's probably going to retire.
And if not, we've been saying that for 3 years now. It's going to happen eventually.
Right.
Right. So what? You get one more year out of him?
You don't know about Dillard, and you kind of like Mailata. That's your offensive line. Receivers, you got some young, you have some youth, but who's?
There's not a guy. There's not third and 37.
You could have some speed guys. Like, I don't know. Could Quez Watkins be a guy? Yeah, maybe.
We don't know, though, because they only. Played him a few games.
Right. I'm telling you, would you do, let's just have some fun with this bar talk. Would you trade the number 6 pick for Matt Rhule? I want your answer on the other side.
Okay.
All right. I told you I would, but I'm also going to, I have to tell you, I have to bare my soul a little bit, tell you a story on the other side. We do our morning thoughts. That's going to happen as well. I'll give it to you. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach. It's got a couple of lines. You want to, John, what's your solution to the Eagles coaching staff? Let's talk a little Pico. I got an important message from Pico. Did you know you could save energy and money with Pico? The great people at Pico. They want you to schedule an energy assessment. And what will happen is a Pico expert will help you identify areas in your home that you could be wasting energy. That's right. They will create a personalized report of ways you could help lower your bill. Plus, you're going to receive free energy saving products. Schedule your assessment today. You may qualify for a free energy checkup. Go to PECO.com/assessment or call 888-5-PECO-SAVE. This, folks, is a no-brainer. Call PECO now, 888-5-PECO-SAVE, S-A-V-E. Schedule your home energy assessment now or visit PECO.com/assessment. PECO, it's a no-brainer.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Cause Radio Tunis. On it. Kind of a miserable Tuesday. Looking for a coach. How about this? Another name in the mix. Marcus Hayes tweets, Eagles interested in interviewing Cowboys special teams coach John Fossil, formerly of the Rams, Raiders, and Ravens, the son of former Giants coach Jim Fossil. Your thoughts?
Can I say something to you?
Yes.
I saw that tweet, and I didn't even bother bringing it up.
No?
No, if they hire him, I might not watch it.
But that's the point.
I might not watch it.
Look at all these interviews of all these people.
I might not watch.
The list keeps going and going and going. So, Andrew, I'll ask you. As we sit here trying to figure out who wants the Eagles job, would you trade for Matt Rhule? I know this sounds absurd. I believe me, I do. However, I got into a conversation with a friend of mine who was there when Gruden got traded from Oakland to Tampa. Two first round picks and $8 million. And if you did it, Matt would have something in common with another head coach in Philadelphia. You know who that is?
No.
Doc Rivers, who was traded from the Celtics to the Clippers as a coach. Would you do it?
I mean, I would do it. I just don't think it's happening.
Well, of course.
Because Rhule's only been there for 1 year, whereas Gruden was there for 4 years before getting traded to Tampa. I would do it. I respect Matt Rhule, and I respect Matt Rhule more than
the... I'm just asking you. I mean, we're having a ballroom conversation.
I mean, I respect him more than the other coaching candidates.
One of the things about sports radio is that we have ballroom conversations.
Right.
That the chances of it coming true are... 2%. Right?
Right.
However...
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, anything's possible.
Right.
I mean, it happened in this century. So it's not like it's never happened before. I mean, I don't know. Let me talk out of my rear end, all right? We're at the bar. We're having a conversation.
Just need a beer in my hand.
All right? And I say to you, hey, you know what? We're going through all these names. We're vetting all these people. You know, the guy in Carolina is really sharp, right? That's not for debate, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with you.
You know, that's a guy that if he was still available, when I was talking about it years ago, about you would have went after him.
Right.
Right? He would be your number one choice.
Yeah, what he did for Temple, what he did for Baylor, incredible.
He'd be your number one choice.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And then, you don't even need to watch what he did in Carolina, how he got those kids to play without McCaffrey, with, a marginal starting quarterback at best in Teddy Bridgewater, and the fact that if you watch them, how hard they played. All right. So we all agree that he would be a guy that you would jump at in a second. Yeah. So then you go, all right. Well, I know that he loved it here. His family, like they loved it here. When I tell you loved it here, they loved it here. All right. So I don't know if he'd be willing, but to say he would consider anything. Right? Now Carolina goes, well, wait a second. You know, he's my guy. You know, I don't want this tampering stuff. Like, you know, I love my guy. But if you're Howie or Jeffrey and you want to be out of the box and you want to be, you know, big thinkers.
Right.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Mr. Hedge Fund Man, I'll give you the number 6 pick in the draft for your head coach.
And that's it?
That's, I got to give you more?
Probably, if they believe
the number 6 overall pick?
Yeah. They probably ask for more. But sure, right, if it's just the 6th, I'll do it.
I'll give you my first round picks this year and next year. Or this year and in 20
the following year, yeah. We'll play the NBA rule.
Right.
Yeah, I would do it. I mean, because I actually believe in the guy. Like, I think he's going to.
So you, Andrew, would do the deal?
Yeah, I would do the deal.
All right. You would do the deal.
Yeah, because I am not enamored by any current candidate. None of them. Not one candidate. Whoever gets hired by the Philadelphia Eagles, I will root for. But there's not one guy that I go, yes, great hire. Not one guy out there right now. And I'm not going to say they're going to fail. I won't say any of that stuff because I did that with Doug and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. But, you know, there's not one guy that I'm currently excited about. So, yeah, I'd do the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just throwing it out there. It's a fun little, you know, barroom conversation. But why can't you make an overture?
I'll see why you can't.
Again, it happened this century.
Right.
It happened this century. In the NFL and with Doc Rivers.
Right. I just look at it.
Gruden
was with the Bucks or the Raiders for 4 years prior to the trade.
Right. But is it probably not going to happen? Yeah. I mean, you know, but why can't you make the overture?
I'm not saying you can't.
Well, you never know. What happens if you ask? What happens if you go, hey, look, I'd like to trade for your coach? And they go, all right. Give me three. That's what happened with Al Davis.
Right.
When they went to Al Davis, he goes, all right, give me 2 first round picks at $8 million.
Tampa jumped on it.
The league's changed. And, right. You know, again, probably not going to happen. But they went, all right, done. You know, Parcells got moved like that. There was a trade. I just throwing it out there. I mean, I know it's crazy, but why not make the overture? Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Todd.
Hey, two brothers from two other mothers.
What's happening, Todd? How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you, Todd.
Thank you, sir. I want to go NFL rules, Anthony, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Is that okay? Okay. All right. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. You know I'm a Chief fan, and I'm going to win the Super Bowl. You know that. also know I root for you guys on the Philadelphia Eagles. But the NFL rules, I'm not sure you watched all the football games this past weekend.
I watch every second of each game. Yep.
Me too. And I'm going to go to... To you, Anthony, was there an unnecessary roughness called on the play that Patrick Mahomes, the guy, was trying to pull his head off?
Yeah, no.
No?
The problem was it was the way he fell and he hit his head into sin, but like he the way it happened.
Yes,
it was. It really messed it up from that respects. I didn't think it was a penalty. I just thought it was unfortunate fall, the way he got tackled. Now, he got thrown down, but I wouldn't have called it. Would you have?
No, I would not have called it.
Yeah. Joey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, cuz, what's going on?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, listen, brother? So my point today is, as far as the coaching situation goes, it really doesn't matter what coach we bring in here, okay? Because even if Carson Wentz manages to turn back the hands of time to 2017, the lack of talent on both sides of this ball that we have, the Eagles are three seasons away from being a successful football team anyway. That's my viewpoint on it.
Well, I said that earlier. I don't know if you heard it, but I said the same thing. Like, if you were able to fix Wentz where he's good, you're still not ready to win. Now, you know, three is long. You could maybe do it in two if you really draft well.
Well, do what in two? Go into the Super Bowl or win a couple playoff games?
Well, no. I mean, I don't know. Win the Super Bowl, you can at least become competitive again in 2 years.
I don't think it's going to happen with Carson, though. I mean, in my opinion, I would go right for Deuce Daly and bring him up as the head coach. He has experience with this team, with this city, and any other coach you bring in here isn't going to make a big enough difference to me.
I don't, you know, listen, I don't know what Deuce brings as a coach.
Well, he knows the players well. He knows the roster. He knows the system.
You know,
I mean,
here's my only fear about Deuce, and I like Deuce, so if it happened tomorrow, I wouldn't complain, but my only fear with Deuce is, isn't that Doug all over again? You got a guy who comes in who is well-liked by the players, who is under, you know, Howie and Jeffrey's thumb, who's never done it before. Isn't it the same guy?
Well, I mean, that depends. I mean, the key issue to me is Carson's attitude toward whoever the coach is.
Well, forget Wentz for a second, because even if you just said it, even if he turned it around and he's good, it's still, there's still a couple years from being a real competitive team.
Right, exactly.
You got to get someone who can build it.
True, which I agree with.
So, I don't know, can Deuce build something?
I would give him a shot. I would give him a shot, too.
What do you what do you like about him as a coach material?
I just like that the fact that he knows the players, he knows...
But again, Doug knew the players. Team.
Well, I don't think we should have moved on from Doug. I thought that was the wrong move.
All right. I didn't see a word Doug was that good of a coach, but all right.
I was on the move forward from Wentz team.
Well, that's fine. You could move Wentz. My only thing is, what shows you that he could win?
Well, nothing, because he hasn't had the opportunity to. But,
I was talking about Doug. I mean,
Doug. Okay. Well, because he did win. He did win.
Oh, you won with Wentz getting him the number one seed.
I agree, but Carson Wentz hasn't been the same player since then.
Right. Right. Now, you think that Doug and Hurts is a winning formula?
I thought it was our best option.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
All right, well, we disagree on that. But All right, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joey. Good stuff, brother. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, Joe could be right. Deuce could be an answer. I don't know. I just don't want it to be another Doug situation where Doug's under their thumb.
The whole time. Yeah.
And Deuce is a player's guy. Like Doug was a player's guy. I'll say it a million times, but you'll never convince me that he was a good coach. He was a player's guy that, you know, that was his success. So I don't know. I don't know where you go. And I don't know, Deuce, I love him as a dude. Who knows? Maybe you're at that point. I trade for Rule. All right, Judas, let's go to a little morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Hi, Tunis. So I got to bare my soul here for a second. And it's kind of I'll give you a little mindset, a little kind of pass into my mind right now. So I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine who doesn't live in the area, And he says, and he was a former football player, and he tells me that he has turned the page on life. And my friend, and I'm like, and he's pretty deep about things. So I call him after the show, and I go, what's going on, brother? And he goes, I had a heart attack, and I almost died. And he said that, and it's an amazing story, because he comes home after a trip. He's exhausted. He falls asleep, just crashes. He wakes up 3 days later in the hospital. And he only got saved because a friend of his, he had an appearance, and a friend of his goes to pick him up, and the doors open. And the guy got nervous, walks in, and finds him.
Oh, man.
And they get rushed to the hospital, and he's saved. And he has a completely different outlook on life.
Jeez.
And so I woke up this morning, and I've been consumed by it since he told me about this yesterday.
Yeah, it's the first thing you probably... was your morning thought.
Like, there is nothing else matters. Like, his point to me yesterday was, none of it matters. I was like, He's like, he quit all his gigs, and that was it.
Wow.
And he's like...
This is before you had a cup of coffee today.
Yeah.
These thoughts are crossing your mind.
And again, I just had dealt with a funeral
right
on the weekend, which was a tragedy to the family in that sense. But when he told me that, and he's in his 40s, and he told me that, I was like, oh, man. And it's all I could think about. So, I mean, my head's still kind of like swimming.
Oh, I bet. That's a deep... morning thought.
Yeah.
And hopefully your friend, you know, gets better. I mean, he just had a heart attack. Like, geez.
Yeah. No, I mean, thank God he says he's well. Although now all of a sudden he's worried about having COVID because he was in the hospital and exposed.
Of course, yeah. Oh my God, now he's got to deal with that. That's terrifying. All right, well, I hope everything works out.
Yeah, but his point was, dude, you're going to die soon.
Oh.
So fix your life.
And you're worried about the coaching search.
I'm like,
you're worried who's going to coach the Eagles.
I woke up this morning going, my head.
That's when you hug your kids and just try to find any warmth, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have kids, but I get to hug my dog. All right. So this is one of my morning thoughts. And it's more so an experience. It's not even a thought because it happened. I woke up this morning, the dog's laying on me. I love this dog. You saw the dog we did a little Zoom call yesterday. You saw the dog. The dog was playing with me the whole time, like trying to push the dog away. She just wants to be a part of everything. So I'm thinking this morning, wow, this is the greatest thing. Dog. I love this dog. Best dog in the world. So today, she's giving me the eyes. You know those eyes of, I did something. I'm like, what did you do? And then she turns around, and there's a glob of vomit on her. I'm like, what?
Ew.
Well, apparently my cat threw up. And instead of being a normal dog, which a lot of dogs will eat another animal's vomit, my dog decided to roll around in it. So you called me a few times to talk about the show this morning. I wasn't answering because I got to do bath duty. Because, you know, the wife wasn't around, so.
Oh, that is.
So, I guess the morning thought is, these dogs love them to death, but my God, sometimes you're like, come on, dude.
Right?
Really? You gotta roll around in it? Like, what are you doing?
That's bad.
I would have been upset if she ate it.
Right.
But at least she ate it.
But rolling around in it, that's bad.
What are you doing?
That's tough, man. That's tough morning.
That's thought number one.
Our mornings.
Yours is a little more tougher.
Yeah, well, it was.
You're thinking about different. Death. I'm thinking about bathing the dog and getting to work on time.
My mind was still blown from the previous day.
Right.
But that's a pain in the ass morning that you had.
Yes.
What was your next thought? Because I honestly, I still haven't thought about anything else.
Right. Oh, I don't blame you. I got two more. One. You know, I'm a gambling man. I like to dabble every once in a while. And my bad beat the other day was the Tobias Harris finishing with 18 points. I needed one more bucket out of him. and I would have hit this nice parlay. It would have been great. Did you see what happened last night between Kansas and Baylor? Did you see that?
So wait. All right, so I didn't know. I wake up to a text. Now, meanwhile, my head's thinking about that, right?
Yes.
So I wake up to a text from my buddy Boo.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So this is the text from Boo. Baylor up 15 with a minute left and couldn't cover an 8.5-point spread.
Yep.
A mean-nothing three-pointer from 40 feet banks in.
Yes. Chris Tien, who was a guard for Kansas, played 1 minute last night, finished with 3 points. Those 3 points were an inbound pass with less than 2 seconds left on the clock. And he was guarded heavily, right? And he still decided to chuck it up. It was like, go ahead, Chris. I want you to take a shot, man. You don't get much playing time. You probably walked on or something. Go for it. And he drills it. Bank shot. He makes it even. That's even worse. The bank shot. And they don't cover the 8.5 or not. Some people had it at 9. So it makes you think.
Oh, my God.
Chris Tien, he's not playing, right? So he's probably logging on one of the apps.
No. No. Come on.
He goes, hi, man, I had us at +9 today.
No. No. Yeah, I
hooked Kansas up.
It was funny. I literally woke up to that.
So you woke up with the thoughts of what your buddy told you. And then, the text from Boo.
That at least made me laugh.
Right.
Like the bad BI, brother.
You saw in the highlight of Tien making the shot, there's a guy in the bottom right corner of the screen who was a Baylor fan and clearly took Baylor and the points.
Oh, really?
He started freaking out.
Really?
Jumping up and threw his hat on the ground. He's going nuts. He clearly took Baylor and the points.
I was in hockey mode last night.
Okay.
I watched Flyers, and then I watched... Was it Vegas?
Yes.
It was Vegas and Arizona. But I just was, and I crashed. I fell asleep watching the hockey game.
So you did not deal with the bad beat there?
I didn't watch any basketball yesterday.
Yeah. All right.
The COVID games, I find tough.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. I took a game yesterday.
It's not fun to watch.
No, I mean, I thought... The Suns were playing the Grizzlies. Grizzlies were out Valanciunas. They had no big man, but the Suns hadn't played for 8 days. So I go, all right, Memphis is missing their big man. Suns have been fresh, but what happened? The Suns couldn't hit water, right? Because they haven't played in 8 days.
Right.
And that's why. So
right.
I end up losing that bet. I'm like, my God, like, you would think 8 days rest, they have all their guys, but because of the 8 days, their form was off and everything.
Oh, actually, we did our daily number. And speaking of that...
Yeah, you hit on the Warriors.
I didn't even know until you told me today that...
Outright.
Yeah. Because, I was like, checked out. I wasn't in the right frame of mind just thinking of my body. I just had the hockey Flyers on, and I was just like, let me just disappear.
Yeah, it's good work out of you.
But, Warriors not only covered the 8.5, I said they're going to win the game.
Yeah, you did. I'm your witness. You said outright.
All right, well, we'll do our daily number again at 1:30. Hopefully, we get a couple more. Lots to get to. We'll reopen the lines coming up next. 610-632-0975. Since I gave you kind of like an insight into my day yesterday, can you give me something? I need 10 positive things in Philadelphia sports. So a little help making myself smile.
You can get a few.
Hey, all the great teams have a go-to guy, right? Well, when it comes to great tomato pie, my friends at Corpley's Bakery and Deli, my go-to guys, yes, since 1924, the Corpley's family has dedicated their lives to serving the highest quality tomato pies. And when you walk into one of the locations, are amazing, right? They have all the goodies. Stromboli's ridiculous, Corpley's. You walk into the bakery and you smell the tomato pies cooking. Ah. Right, they're perfect. The ingredients are great. The fresh tomato, the olive oil, the basil, a little dusting of the cheese. Tremendous. Corpley's family got 4 locations for your convenience. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville. If you have any events coming up, whatever it is, have it catered by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. Your guests will rave about how good the food was. You're going to love everything, the desserts, you name it. But when it comes to great tomato pie... Look no further. than Corporal Lee's Bakery and Deli. My go-to guys. See more at CorporalLee'sBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:30. Coming up 11:40, we'll talk to Jeff McClain, who obviously shook up Eagles Nation with that big story over Carson Wentz. So we'll talk to him about it. Curious as to it'll be interesting. Junis, maybe we allow some callers to ask Jeff some questions. That might be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? I got some questions. I know some of our callers would have it. And Jeff did such a great job, you know. Let's talk about it. We'll have some callers do it. Let's kick it off on the lines again. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, Ant?
What's happening, brother?
Man, just to go off of what you were saying about your moment when you woke up this morning, man. One thing me and my friends always say, life is short. You know what I mean? We never know. You know what I mean? We never know what could happen, man.
Brother, listen, it freaked me out yesterday because, you know, I talked to this buddy of mine and I didn't talk to him and he goes, yo, man, I got to tell you a story. And I was like, what the, you know? And
right.
And then we got to do this whole thing, and he was talking about, you know, God and you know, yeah. Is there a God?
And you start,
you know, and listen,
start
you
thinking
know,
like that, man. It's yeah, real. Well, life I mean, is real.
When you go sure. to sleep and you wake up 3 days later in the hospital,
yes.
you know.
I just think every day I wake up is a blessing, man.
I feel it, bro. Know. Yeah.
And I'm gonna get to this, man. I'm starting to have a sense of peace because I'm thinking about things, even with this coaching search, that I didn't know Andy Reid when he got hired. I didn't really know about Andy Reid. I really didn't. I knew Peterson backup quarterback and everything, but for some reason, I'm not the biggest, you know, Lori fan and Howie fans, but they seem to pick a diamond in the rough some kind of way. And pick somebody that is off our radar, and they happen to work out here in Philadelphia. Andy Reid did. I mean, Doug Peterson, I know it's all shortcomings, the least he won the Super Bowl, the only one in history of this city.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. We don't know what Lori's thinking and what he's going to do, man. That's why we always in flux with what's going on. He can get somebody, we'd be like, who the heck is that? And then, like, in 2 years, we'd be like, this is a good hire. So I don't really know right now. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to try to keep my mind phased like that because I go crazy thinking about everybody that I wanted to come in here. Because, you know, it's a want thing who I want to be the coach. But
well, would you do you my know? Idea? Would you trade for Matt Rhule?
Man, I wanted Matt Rhule. I love being at Temple. I love Matt Rhule. I don't know why I would have fired Doug and took that role. I love him to death, man. So, yeah, I give up the sixth pick, all the picks in the draft for that role. I don't care, but because I like him, man. I'm a couple dudes.
It sounds crazy, but it's been done this century. And Doc Rivers, mind you, got traded.
Right, right. So
as a coach, from Boston to the Clippers.
And I think Matt here, too. I think he likes it.
Well, I put it this way. I know he loved it here. And certainly before he coached in Carolina, we talked about coaching the Eagles.
Right. And he was excited about it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And again, this is before he winds up in Carolina.
Yeah,
Carolina. Because I know he lost Carolina. But my point is, I know, you know, his family loved it. Like, he felt at home in Philadelphia. Like when he was in Baylor, we used to send DeBrunos to him. We'd send him care packages, Philadelphia care packages.
Right, right. And you ain't watched no games last night. I had to turn the Flyers
off. I watched Flyers.
I was thoroughly disappointed, man, in the Flyers yesterday, man. I mean, they had to do better around. Like, they give up too many turnovers. They loose with the puck down on their own end, man. They don't protect the goalie enough. I mean, I seen some stuff yesterday that pissed me off with the Flyers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought it was a sleepwalk job, right? I mean, some days, you know, you just don't have it. Like, you just sleep. They look flat, the definition of flat. And, you know, Carter Hart saved their bacon in the first period.
Yes, he did. That one, the one save.
It's ridiculous. And then the second period, I mean, he just had no chance. And then, you know, V had no choice but to, you know, switch.
Now, speaking of V, Lane Vigneault, I believe he's the kind of coach that could get this team to do a quick turnaround facing the same team tonight and come out with a W.
Yes.
You know, I believe in the coach.
I think you'll see a completely different effort tonight. And you know him, he'll switch up lines.
Yes, he will.
See, the one line that I thought played well was Frost. The G line's dead.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like the Frost line last night.
Okay. That's your guy, Morgan Frost.
No, for not having played in 10 months.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he actually played well. So, you know, Elliott's going to be in net tonight.
Yep.
I think Flyers rebound tonight.
I do too. 3-1.
6-1. Come on.
You're not going to let that happen tonight.
That's a bad effort.
Yeah, of course.
Gustafson had a horrible game.
Yes, he did.
Horrible game. So I'm expecting a comeback win tonight. Let's go to Brian. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Bri.
Hey, man.
How you doing, Bri?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I feel bad about this story you shared. And it stinks getting older, doesn't it? I mean, I think we're about the same age, and you hear, and I feel like you hear more and more of that stuff that brings that kind of potential finality. It just makes you think about it.
It does. And you know how it is, like when you got to, like, so when my buddy called me, he told me the story, and that he woke up 3 days later, and he's got two kids, he's got a couple kids, and the whole thing. And
us too, right?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun to think about it. So you said, hey, is there something good? And you just were coming off that Flyers chat. I mean, I can't remember the last time I was sort of coming into a Flyer season with as high of expectations as we have about this team. Right? I mean, it's been a while, I think. I mean, we thought they'd be good, but there's sort of really great things expected from this team. And, yeah, they're gonna have their bumps in the road, but I think they're going to do well.
I do, too. I think they're really deep. I'm with you. I think they're a good team, man.
But, man, I got nothing else. That's about it as far as Philadelphia sports that's positive. But listen, I wanted to make a couple points about Deuce. I heard that call.
Calls
back, right? You know, the way I look at it, I think Deuce is as good as anything else that we're going to get that's out there. Like, if you really think about it, who's going to want to come here that's really good? We'll see what happens with Sirianni. You know, I just can't see who else would do a better job than Deuce. And I've got two points I want to make about it.
Sure.
One is, you know, you said, oh, he's going to be a lot like Doug. He's another, you know, kind of, I keep thinking of a yes man to Howie and Lori. And at the end of the day, look, those guys are making the decision. If they want a yes man, we're going to get a yes man. Right. So, like, you can't use that as like, well, that's why not. You know, why I don't want Deuce, right? And I do think he brings a couple of other good things to the table, right? He hasn't been a coordinator. This is a good, real opportunity for him. And I think he would bring in, you know, he would take the coaching selection around him, who he's going to bring as coordinators and things, really seriously. And hopefully we'll get a good team of coaches, not just Deuce.
I think you're right. I think he would definitely do that. You know, I just go like this, and God forgive me, because I love Deuce, right? I know Deuce.
Yeah, me too.
Right? Like, I know him from, I mean, I was very close to those early 2000 Eagles, right? I was with them, embedded with them. I love Deuce.
Yeah.
Yep. I just don't know what Deuce brings as a coach. Like, I don't know. He could turn out to be one of the great coaches of all time. I just don't know what he brings. That's all.
Right, right. I mean, I got to assume, you know, he's going to have an offensive-minded. I mean, we got to rebuild. We got to rebuild the offensive line, right? You know, I don't know what's going to happen with running backs. I mean, Sanders is great, but, like, you know, how long and how much we're going to have to pay him. You know, I think sort of solidifying that, you know, kind of our offense and maybe getting a little bit more, how long we've been complaining about the run-pass ratio. Maybe he's got a much more sort of run, you know, mindset. And,
yeah, but just because he's a running back doesn't mean he was a running back, doesn't mean he's going to run the ball. And I'll be honest with you, I think you still need to throw the football to win in this league. Look at the four teams alive right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, clearly. I mean, you can't be all run, but
I love the guy. I get a little, and I appreciate Brad. I appreciate it, buddy. I do. I love him. So I don't want to be like in this. Oh my God, I don't want Deuce in this position. I just don't know. Like, if I sat down and talked to him and said, "Hey, man, like, give me your vision,"
right?
He could come up with some incredible vision. And I go, wow, man, that's a head coach. I don't know. So I'm not saying no. I'm just saying I don't know. Right? Brian Daboll, who comes from Buffalo, who was with Saban, Belichick, now Sean McDermott, and built Josh Allen, fixed, built, nurtured, whatever you want to call it, and is an incredible play caller.
Pretty good resume.
Right? I go, I know what that guy brings. But it's the same thing. Like, you know, whether it's Deuce or it's Fossil's son, I go, I don't know what he's about.
Right.
Right. Or the offensive coordinator from Indianapolis. I can't really speak to what his accomplishments are.
No, right? Same with Bieniemy and Kafka in Kansas City, because it's Andy Reid's show.
Right. So it's easy as someone who's not involved in the process
right.
to look at a coordinator where the coach is from the other side of the ball and go, well, you got a lot of success there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to it.
Okay.
Now, that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Now, a little bit from Mike Florio on the Josh McDaniels front. He mentions on his, you know, his little show in the morning, Josh McDaniels ran the show in Denver. Howie Roseman has a major seat at the table in Philly. How do these two coexist? My understanding is Roseman is fine with it. It's just a matter of talking the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, into it. So it seems like, according to Mike Florio, the reason why the McDaniels hiring hasn't happened yet is because the owner, who you say meddles a little bit, is still hesitant. Which I get it. He's the owner. He said he's leading the coaching search. It's his decision.
Listen, he picked Andy Reid.
Yeah,
so
he did.
He should be. I don't have a problem with him picking a coach.
Right.
I just have a problem with him jumping in personnel.
Well, apparently Josh McDaniels wants a lot to say. So,
well, you knew that, right?
Right. So now Lurie goes, no.
I don't think it's a bad sign if McDaniels gets the job. However, I don't know what his acumen is either, because he did take Tebow.
Yeah, great. Great pick there, Josh.
You know? I don't know. I don't know.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's go to AC. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AC.
Yo, Anthony, what's going on?
What's up, AC?
Man, I feel your pain. I go through it every day, man, thinking about death. I've gone through that every day for the last 33 years. At some point, whether I sound happy on the phone talking to you or what, you know, every day I think about, like, whether or not I'm going to have a heart attack or anything, because when I was 15, me and my dad were watching the Eagles and Cardinals, and Cunningham hit Greg Garrity in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown, and he high-fived and hugged, and then he just fell to the floor and died. Heart attack.
Oh, my God, AC.
And
that's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And then from that point on, like, I get checked every year from, like, 16 good. On. I get checked, but, like, I still feel like, you know, it's all in my head. But then I have a roommate who I moved into my house after my mom died. I took care of my mom, divorced. So, like, I took care of my mother. She was sick. And so when she passed away, I have a childhood roommate of mine that I've known, you know, for 45 years. So he was going through a rough time. So I moved him in. And a couple weeks ago, he was feeling chest pain. And I told him, you got to go. You got to go to the hospital. He wouldn't go. And the next day, he goes to work. And then about 2 hours later, I text him to see how he's feeling. And he tells me he's in the hospital and he had a heart attack.
Wow.
And but they put a stent in. His was blocked 100%. So they said he was lucky because it was on the right side of his heart, not the left.
Oh, but, my God. Oh, that's horrible.
And like, you know, talk about, like, really thinking about it lately the last couple of weeks. I mean, I think about my dad every day. And then to hear that, it's just like, you know, I have to go to counseling. I literally go to counseling.
Good, good. I mean, listen, I get it. I mean, something traumatic like that, you know, you got to talk to somebody about that. Because, look, it's something that we all face. There's, you know, tomorrow's not promised to us, which is why we have our own relationship or faith and with a higher power, and to get through it, we have distractions in life and we live our life and try not to dwell or focus on it, which I guess is an issue for you.
You know what's crazy, Anthony? I'm Italian like you, and we have big families, and we have family, you know, like my grandparents were off the boat from Naples and they spoke, you know, the broken English and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and always had a big family. From the time I was about 4 all the way up to like 19, 20, everybody just went.
Yeah.
I mean, young too, young. And, you know, it's not fair, you know, it's just they went. I mean, I'm talking 30, 40, 50.
Yeah.
And we went from a big family to, you know, down to nothing. And I'm young, I'm 48.
Yeah.
I have no kids, but it's just sad. Life's brutal. As great as it is, it's hard and it's brutal. And it's a day-long process. Every day is a blessing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and look, a pandemic doesn't do that mindset much better.
It makes it worse because it's like you can't go out and
enjoy life. Right. No, listen, I'm with you. Listen, AC, keep talking to someone. Just remember this, though. And just remember that your outlook is everything. Brother, look, I know sometimes we all deal with stuff, but your outlook is so important. And there's some incredible things that life has to offer. And try to focus on that.
I do, but then I get mood swings, depression. I get mood, you get anger, management.
Sure.
I go through it all because, like, you go through shit. Because, like, every month, there's something that pops in your head that you think about a loved one.
I know.
And it's like, it sets me off. And
I hear. I wish I was qualified to help you. I obviously I'm not. I wish you continued to talk to someone. And I want you to
work on it,
brother.
All right? I do. It's just, you know,
it's
just
tough. All right, buddy. Hang in there, man. It's tough. Look, I shared a story of a buddy of mine who called me yesterday and said that he came home from work, woke up 3 days later in the hospital with a heart attack, and now has a completely different outlook on life.
Right.
Like, changed his whole life. You know, got rid of, like, all these people in his life, just went, I'm focused on a handful of people and doing a handful of things, and that's it. And it's really dramatic. And, you know, we talk about morning thoughts, waking up, and that's been haunting me, the conversation.
Ever since you talked to him yesterday. Yeah. By the way.
That's the beauty of sports, is that, you know, you can lose yourself. It's a distraction.
Well, which is why I didn't call Jeff McClain. I lost myself in our conversation regarding Eagles coaches. So my bad. Jeff will be on at noon, coming up next. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
My fault.
Cuz Radio, Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew South. Tunis playoffs, they're my favorite time of the year. I can't wait to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. If you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot because right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds. Any team, any playoff game this weekend, they don't have to cover the spread in their game. They just have to win. Now listen, I think Brady did a good job last week beating New Orleans, but I'm still going to go with Rodgers. The dude is just on fire. I'm going to keep on riding with Green Bay. I think they're the team you want to go with. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer. You know I've been betting football on FanDuel all season long. I hit on that same game parlay the other day during the Green Bay LA game. It's awesome. You can have all kinds of fun. I even messed around with a drive bet, right? I picked the result of the drive. You can do all kinds of fun stuff on FanDuel, so check it out. During the game, before the game, you know it. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code FANATIC so I know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code FANATIC. Must be 21 plus, present Jersey or PA, new users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus is $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. It's high noon across the Delaware Valley, and joining us, like he does every Tuesday, the man who dropped a bombshell on the town from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, Jeff McLean. Jeffrey!
Anthony, what's up?
Oh, man, you just rocked the world this weekend. Everybody was talking about the story, as you can well imagine. And first of all, there's a lot of damning stuff about Carson in there. I mean, the stuff about killing plays on spite. How much of this stuff surprised you?
Well, my nose kind of sent me a little bit in that direction. Although it certainly was offered up freely to from some of my sources as well, but I mean, we saw various points over the course of the season, some very odd audibling at the line, or you know, killing or changing directions of plays. At least that's what I thought. Now he's always had the ability to do that ever since he was a rookie. Most quarterbacks do, but and it's not like you're basically calling a completely different play. You're checking to a run versus a pass, or vice versa, or you're changing the direction of a run per se. I mean, that was the way it was felt, by coaches, and players on the team that Carson was doing this. Now, clearly, obviously you're giving some leeway there. And apparently that was part of the problem too, is that he was given this much power to do this and kind of ran rampant with it. But at some point, it's just the way that it was viewed by many, not many, by some that I spoke to, was that this was something that he was doing out of spite because he didn't like the plays. Now, in Carson's defense, I don't think Doug was actually calling a great game all the time. I mean, we've talked about this many, many times. Why aren't they rolling him out? Why aren't they taking advantage of his ability to throw on the run? And maybe Carson felt like this is something he needed to do. Nevertheless, it definitely is. In some ways, viewed as subordinate.
All right, so you reached out to him. He's rebuffed your invitation to talk about these allegations.
Correct. Yeah, I spoke to his people, and they, you know, several times, and they knew the story was going, Carson hasn't spoken since December 6th. I mean, he had the opportunity after the season. Yeah, you know, typically you'd expect him to come out and speak and. Look, again, I'm not the type of person like, he's got to talk to me. I just thought it was my reason when he didn't release a statement to counter the reports that have kind of just been dangling out there that he wants to be traded, that his relationship with Doug Peterson has been severed. He kind of let that report just hang out there. And this is, you know, this is by veteran reporters who've broken.
Right. Chris Mortensen.
Chris Mortensen of ESPN.
Shefty, Listen, here's the thing. I don't understand. Again, I'm not asking him to speak as a, oh, you got to talk, like you said, like you got to talk to the press or this or that. But it's in everybody's best interest, including the team, if you act like a quarterback and be a leader. I think a leader needs to speak and take control of the situation.
Well, look, again, I'll give him credit. I mean, he didn't have to speak after the game. He was benched on December 6th, and he did. But you're right. And it was interesting that when we kind of were all asking for Carson the day after the season, when other players spoke, and not many, you know, typically it's open locker room, you get dozens of guys. We only got like, I think, three. You would think that this would be the opportunity for him to talk. And then we asked the Eagles and they said that Carson politely declined, which is interesting that they kind of made it very clear that Carson didn't want to talk. You know, typically they might have handled it a different way. And you'd be under the impression that maybe the Eagles don't want him to talk. But this told me that they were fine with Carson talking, and he didn't.
What do you make of it? We're talking to Jeff McClain, InquiryQuark.com. You know he offered the story that we've been talking about for the last couple days. What's your comment? Now, obviously, listen, you're a great reporter. I've always said that about you. You're a terrific reporter, writer. You know about, because people right away will say, well, did Jeff talk to people who have sour grapes or axes to grind?
Right.
And my retort was, I trust that Jeff is able to sift through that stuff and kind of know what's what and what's what. But what, in your opinion, what do you come away with who is Carson Wentz? I've asked you this 100 times, but who is this guy?
Yeah, and you know, this has been out there, drips and drabs. And I think even in the stories I've written during the season, it's been out there in drips and drabs. I mean, in the past, I've written about type A personality and how he's got to toe that line to, you know, the coming off a certain way and rubbing guys the wrong way, and how sometimes he can isolate himself with his core group of posse guys. And, you know, this is stuff that had been alluded to before. Even before he was drafted, there were reports about him butting heads with his his head coach or his coaches there. And that's, you know, again, sometimes that's what you want out of that quarterback position. And a lot of the top quarterbacks are that way. But they
I actually thought it was a good thing.
Right. But a lot of them don't resist hard coaching. They actually want it. They want that back and forth. And I think the feeling in, you know, amongst some coaches and players was that this was something that Carson didn't want at all and wasn't willing to bend at all. And, you know, some of that, again, as I pointed out in the story, falls on the organization and so much, how much power they gave him and how they just kind of deified him right from the get-go. And certainly after the Super Bowl that he didn't win, and certainly after the big contract that they gave him, that this is something that they were in part responsible for. And not only that, then obviously the coaching staff and how the coaching staff was constructed after DeFilippo and Frank Reich left, and promoting Press into a position that he probably wasn't quite ready for, that he wasn't really ideally suited for in relation to relation to Carson Wentz. You know, I hoped that was very clear in the story that, look, I mean, obviously Carson's not going to be come out looking great on here, and the quarterback gets a lot of blame, and that's, you know, certainly the feeling for many in the organization, that, you know, a lot of them were defending him to me in some ways, but the revelation is that it's not all hunky-dory behind the scenes with Carson, and that this was a major problem, and this factored significantly into his regression this past year. And then on the subject of sources and, you know, sour grapes, or look, I've been covering this team for 12 years. This is actually a story that I've probably been reporting on the day that Carson was drafted, or even before that, when we knew that he was, you know, this is something that's built up, that you've learned. You talked to a lot of people who have been around him a long time, and the sources that I've had in all these situations, I have built up relationships, cultivated these relationships for a long time, and I understand where they're coming from. And in almost each and every case, there's no reason for them to actually speak out against Carson. You know, they want Carson to succeed. They want Carson to be able to play at his best. And that was not the case this past season.
Jeff McClain, inquiry.com. Jeff, one of the things that didn't make sense was what he was given a lot of latitude or a lot of sway in draft picks, personnel, and coaching decisions.
Well, I want to say that, like, I've written stories before about, like, when you look at the draft and how he may have been influenced, and what I've heard from various sources is that, yeah, like, they, you know, look, he's not making the picks. He's not, you know, that's a whole nother story. I couldn't even go into that whole, in the detail there. He's not, like, they're not, he's not in the draft room, et cetera. But they're definitely talking to him before they're making these picks, especially at the wide receiver position or this, that, or the other thing. I mean, as I pointed out in my story before last year's draft, was that I think of the offensive players drafted in the first three rounds of over four years, like 80, 90% of them were guys from the same agency as Carson. And yeah, there were players that he was telling them about. Now, I don't know if that, you know, they had a good relationship with that.
Like who?
All of them. Isaac Seumalo, Andre Dillard, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Mac Hollins.
So wait a second. So Carson was talking about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? That he deserves to fail if he's drafted Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf.
I don't want to overstate this because, again, I'm not trying to take people. This is Howie saying it because Howie's trying to distract from this choice. No, Howie Roseman made all these picks. He is the ultimate final say. My point is that this was very unusual for quarterbacks to have this amount of. You know, they were
He's got to get a pair of eyes and see who
clearly. Well, no, I don't. Again, I don't think that they're. Again,
I'm being facetious. Yeah.
Right, I know you're saying, but also like coaching. I mean, they did what they want. They did what Carson wanted. Now, Carson didn't say that Mike Rowe had to be fired, but they weren't getting along. It wasn't working. That's factored into the reason why Mike Rowe isn't here. Press Taylor, Carson and Press got along. Carson knew that he's someone that he could. I don't want to say control, but that ended up being what happened. So they're going to do it. They're going to go along with it, and their Doug's going to go along with it. That's you know. That plays now. That happens sometimes. Clearly, with franchise quarterbacks, you've seen what's happening down in Houston. Deshaun Watson wanted to be in the meetings for the head coach and the GM. But you know, there you need to draw a line. You can't sometimes let the inmates run the asylum. To steal a phrase.
Yeah, I mean Deshaun Watson playing at a high clip.
Well, that's too.
You know what I mean? I'll give Deshaun Watson a little latitude. Hey, my man, what? Until you go back to quarterback school, I don't want to hear him peep out of you.
Right. Well, this is probably more before this.
I hear you.
Explosion. But like, it created a monster almost in some cases.
Wow.
Like, this happens on every team. When you get a franchise quarterback, man, you make him your face. You give him a lot. You give him a lot of leeway. But it seemed like they were. The feeling in from people in the organization was that they gave him too much because, you know, he hadn't even played. He didn't win that Super Bowl. Everyone acts like he played a huge role in them getting to that Super Bowl. He deserves every accolade he got during that season. He obviously deserves his Super Bowl ring. He played well the other couple of years, but he hadn't done squat. I mean, and let's be real. He hadn't played. He only played in six snaps in the playoffs. You know, so you know. You got to be careful about giving someone that much sway when they still have to get to prove themselves.
I just don't want to understand because the offense is not really, I felt, an offense suited for him. The playmakers around him I never thought was really best suited for him either. But I don't know. I mean, and what's his relationship with Peterson?
Right. Well, let's be fair here. Yeah, true. And I referenced that in the story, and we've referenced that throughout the entire season many times over. And even if you go back to the draft pick, which we were not a fan of, or at least you look at it on the surface, it didn't make sense. You're messing with your franchise quarterback. Now, you could be said that it was like the first time that they kind of screwed with him, but it wasn't just that. It was the makeup of the guys around him. You know, your inexperienced receivers, aging offensive linemen, and then the injuries certainly factored into it as well. So a lot of this isn't on Carson Wentz, right? And then you mentioned Doug Peterson. You know, I don't think we all think Doug is God's gift to play calling. So, I mean, you look at it from Howie's perspective. Is he playing to my strengths? And maybe that's what kind of started the divide between these two. And, you know, I don't know if communication was great. It just kind of got, and as they keep getting, you know, they keep losing games and trying to point out to Carson, okay, you made this mistake, you made, and Carson's not really kind of taking responsibility for that. He's not being accountable for that. Yeah, that's going to bother the head coach. But what I will say is, from what I've been told and what I wrote in the story, is like, Doug gave him every opportunity to work out of his funk. I mean, there were people in that building and thousands upon fans thought that Carson should have benched sooner than he was benched. So I don't know what Doug owed Carson in that regard.
Yeah, listen, I thought he should have been benched too. I don't think he owed him anything. He owes the team. That I never had a problem with Doug. You know, to me, he did the right thing. But did you believe that there? When did the acrimony between the two kind of set in?
Well, I think there's always been some sort of, you know, push and pull. I mean, it hasn't been great.
Right, DeFilippo, good cop, bad cop, and Doug could be the good cop. Basically, when that ends, it starts to set in.
There's certainly things that you know Carson would fight back against. I mean, Carson's been strong headed. This isn't new. I mean, this is kind of who he's always been. And it was with Flip, it was with Reich, but those guys kind of, you know, he was early in his career there. Those guys had clout. Those guys are pretty much, you know, it's this way or not, right? And I think Frank, if you've met him, he's just got a great personality to be able to deal with that kind of thing. And I think Doug is the head coach. He's got a lot more on his plate that he has to worry about than just the quarterback. Obviously, the quarterback is very important, and you have to kind of invest in that relationship. But, look, I mean, you got to look at the product on the field and the way Carson was playing. And if he's not doing what you're wanting him to do, and that you can only have friction and some sort of splintered relationship.
This is crazy, man. This whole thing, what a soap opera. I can talk to you all day long, Jeff. I got to ask you, you know, yet we hear more candidates coming in. I mean, are they any closer to any of this? I mean, where's the McDaniels thing stand at?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I don't think McDaniels is like super, super duper close. I was told last night maybe like 48 to 72 hours, maybe a decision will be made at some point. You know, they're really casting a large net. And, you know, obviously you want to use the opportunity to talk to as many people as you possibly can. But, I mean, there's some really kind of names being thrown out there that I didn't expect. They're looking
Fossil?
For Reed. They're hoping that they can find a guy that'll come in and blow them away that no one else is thinking about that is going to be the next Andy Reid. That they can, this person is capable of skipping a step to becoming the next head coach, because I think a lot of these guys that are ready, they either didn't get or they're not willing to come here. They want to stay in their spots, or they come with baggage or with, you know, a dynamic that may not work with Howie Roseman still in the building. I mean, it's really hard sometimes to get guys that you want with an existing.
Let's be real, man. Look at Dable. Dable said, nah, all right, San Diego, no Chargers, no LA Chargers, fine. I got no interest in Eagles. That's a big deal. Right.
I will say this. I don't know if Dable would have been high on the Eagles list. He's not like a CEO type. He doesn't really have great leader. Like, from what I understand about him, yeah, you got the offensive play caller and he's done a great job in Buffalo, but he didn't do so great of a job before that. And I feel like, I just wonder if he was, I would hold the phone on whether the Eagles would be super interested in Dable. Maybe you say they should have been, but I never thought that was going to be a great fit. I would tell you what, I mean, I know Brandon Staley is the defensive coordinator, but from what I understand was the Chargers hopped on that quickly because they felt like the Eagles were sniffing around big time.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy has a lot of buzz about.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
And it's not just, like, he's the type of guy that actually really, he's a former quarterback. I mean, he knows offense. I mean, he looks at it from
a... No, he does. He's like at both sides of the ball guy. No, I agree.
Yeah, like he's a Belichickian is what people have described him as.
Yeah.
In terms of being able to see the game from both sides.
Yeah. All right, bro. Listen, great stuff, man. I mean, this is never dull. It's crazy, man. Great stuff. I appreciate you. Yeah. One day we're going to get you in. I want you to talk to the people. All right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love talking to people.
Awesome. Right, we're going to do that next time. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Let me know.
There he is. Jeff McClain, Enquirer.com. We will do that, Tunis. We'll get Jeff in. And listen, he's been, again, covering this beat for 12 years. He's got lots and lots of sources. He knows this team inside and out. I mean, what do you come away thinking about Carson, Andrew?
Well, I continue to say I believe a little bit of everyone. Like I believe that there is something to Carson Wentz that people just don't jive with inside that locker room, as Jeff is kind of, you know, reporting on, because we've heard the same story for 3 years in a row now, and it's from different reporters. Now, could it be the same sources? Who knows? But all I know is I've heard the same story about Carson Wentz being a, you know, pain in the rear end for 3 years now, not just with other players, but with coaches too. We've heard the story 1,000 times about him and Zach Ertz and their relationship and how it seems like he's only buddies with Ertz and no one else. So I believe a lot of it. And I'll also say I believe stuff that Rob was talking about yesterday when we had Rob Motti on, that, you know, it's not like Carson Wentz is this evil being and, you know, wants to burn NovaCare to the ground. I don't think all of that's true either. So all I do know is, coming away from the third year in a row hearing issues about Carson Wentz, I think the dude's got some sort of, you know, I was the first overall or second overall pick complex. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he didn't like what Doug Peterson was doing. But as Jeff said, as you said, as I said, I also don't blame him. I didn't like Doug's offense.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't.
But the problem is, like, there's a couple sides here. Now, obviously, right. Rob is really close with Carson.
Right.
And he's close with Doug. Now, he said that those two get along. Like, that's the only part of what Rob said. I went, I don't know about that, dude. I mean, you know.
Yeah, for those Thursday meetings to be canceled, like, I mean, mid-season.
How well did that get those two get along? It seems like, I don't know. There's just been a lot of dysfunction, man. And it does seem like he's at a lot. Listen, personnel is one thing, but Wentz is at the core of some of this stuff.
Yeah, the agency stuff.
I mean, no good. All right. 610-632-0975. Where are you guys at with this, man? Curious. All right, let's talk a little Parks. I love Parks Casino and Sportsbook. You know that every Thursday. It's Cuz's Corner. And let's take a meander through the incredible Parks Sportsbook virtually. Right? Fly Guys in action tonight. You can catch them. They're -150 at Parks. The over-under is 6 goals. You might want to bet a -1.5 and get a little bit of a payday. You think they're going to win by more than one? There's some good stuff going on for the Flyers. I think they come back. Don't forget College Hoops. The Cats are back in action. Yes, Villanova, 9.5-point favorite tonight against Seton Hall after the COVID delay. Penn State, 8.5-point underdog at Illinois. Big Pittsburgh and Duke game. That's going on. And don't forget the football games on Sunday. Green Bay, 3.5 over Tampa. Rodgers over Brady. And Mahomes, assuming he plays, Kansas City. And Andy Reid, 3-point favorite over Sean McDermott and the Bills. What a great time of year. Bet online with the name you trust. Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Parks Casino Sportsbook gives you the home field advantage. That's right. So many ways to bet. You got the prop bets and everything else. So here's the deal. New customers, you sign up now, you get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. Website has all the details. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:30 across the Delaware Valley. Our 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. Get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. Crazy day, man. That's drama.
Now Carson's picking players based on the agents.
Like, could he be a drama queen type of dude? Like, that's the thing.
But he doesn't realize it, because that was one of the things in the story from Jeff McClain on the Inquirer was, you know, they would go over film and he would point out every other flaw except his. And I don't know if that's an insecurity thing. I don't know if he actually believes it. Like, hey, don't get me wrong. We saw guys running wrong routes this year. We saw the offensive line not help him out. But also in that story, an offensive lineman said that 2/3 of the sacks were on Carson himself and not the line. And I go, geez. Now, is that a lineman trying to save his own skin so, you know, he can have a job down the road? I don't know. But Carson Wentz apparently doesn't even point out his own flaws. And that's a problem. The only way you're going to get better is if you admit the things that you're not good at. Instead of just saying, you know, over, over and over again in a press conference, oh, I'll do a better job, something I got to work on. Like, no, you got to actually mean it, dude.
I just don't know. You know, what you do with a guy like that. Like, listen, there are things where I go, oh, this offense was not right for him.
Right.
And I like the type A part. Like, I like somebody. I respect that. I want him to be a quarterback. But, you know, one of the things about being a type A is you got to go, you know,
I'm playing like you know what right
now. Yeah, like you got to say it. You got to recognize it. If you can't recognize that, then, you know, it's not just a type. He's not a type A. He's just an A.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need him. Exactly. I don't need him going to the media and saying, like, hey, I suck. But.
Yeah, well, I do.
Okay.
Quite frankly, I think you're an A-hole. No, I do. I want him to take culpability. Real culpability. That's what quarterbacks do. I want him to be a quarterback. I want him to be Rodgers. I mean, he's not going to be as good as Rodgers, but I want him to be that guy, right? Brady, that guy. Be that guy.
Speaking of Rodgers, you see the clip that's been going viral before he threw the touchdown at Alan Lazard?
No.
He looked at the safety and smiled.
No.
And takes the snap. And throws the touchdown.
He's a killer.
And think about that.
He's a killer.
And like, it was fantastic. You know, grabbed by Fox, the broadcast, because it's just zoomed in on his face. And he, you know, he crouches down under center, looks up, and saw exactly what he wanted and just smiled. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that, man?
That's a killer. Yep. That's what that is, my friend. And that's what I want. And listen, but that's where he's got to hone his own craft. This is stuff I hate. Like, worry about nonsense. Your agency. Picking players, your agency. Get the hell out of here with that nonsense. Tell your agent to shut up and just worry about being a quarterback. They're coming in the league. They want to own the league. Focus on your own self.
Yeah.
Ooh. I gotta be honest with you. I feel a certain way about Wentz. That I'm disappointed in a big way that's his makeup. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, if he's this much of a diva, this much of a mess in the locker room, where again, 3 years in a row now, we're hearing these stories.
You can say whatever you want, and listen, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the answer, But all I know is the kid went coffee bean. All right? The kid had me a coffee bean.
Right. No, the kid had me at the, remember, it was before the season started. I look up on the TV and he's on First Take. This is before the season started. He had the Eagle starter jacket on and the Kelly Green backwards hat. And I was like, damn.
Just saying, man.
He's cool.
Come on, dude. I want you to. You got to be a quarterback. What's wrong with it? Nikki, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Nikki.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, buddy?
What's the coffee bean reference? I missed that. I don't know who that. I don't know that.
Jalen Hurts said he just wants to be a coffee bean. Like you make the coffee with the bean, right? You add water to the bean. He's a part of it. I loved him saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was selfless.
Yeah. You know, and what you said, what Trudy said about, you know, talked about the Aaron Rodgers clip going around with a smile right before he burned the DB. I mean, that's Kobe Jordan-esque, you know?
That's what I'm saying, man. He's a killer.
Yeah, that's what Jordan and Kobe
are. He knows it. Meanwhile, Wentz couldn't even see an open guy in front of him, 2 feet in front of him last year.
Yeah. I mean, Ben would never do that. Ben would never, you know, smile with the guarding him and take him to the hole, but anyway, let's talk NFL.
But did you really do that? Did you really go that? You were just relentless.
I couldn't get in yesterday, dude.
Oh my God, you're relentless. So I can't take it.
I want to get in so bad yesterday. Anyway, look, I'm kind of on Deuce Wagon. I'm on a Deuce Wagon. And I know what you're saying. We don't know anything about him. We just know he's been here under Andy and Chip and Chippa and Doug. You know, so that tells me, you know, A, he's either way too likable and a stooge, or he's a guy of the game and just studies and wants to do his part. I mean, I didn't know who Andy was before he came here and gave us 14 good years and, you know, a Super Bowl, you know, game and a couple of NFC games. And I didn't know. And I thought, you know, I thought Doug was a synodometer, you know, I sponsored the synodometer with your old host. You know, but he won us the Super Bowl. So what do I know about these guys until they come in here and show us? You know?
I don't know if you were that wrong, but whatever.
Look, but you said last week, or 10 days ago, you wanted a CEO. And I'm thinking, Deuce, it seems like he might have the CEO characteristics because he's worked under different head coaches and he's been a team guy. Now, you know, what does that mean? He's a team guy. That's a pro or a negative, depending on how it works out.
Right.
Yeah, but maybe he can be, like, what's his name in Pittsburgh? You know, who just basically oversees everything. Or Harbaugh, who oversees everything and brings in the right
people. Maybe. Only they know the answer, right? My only thing is, if he comes in, and knowing Deuce, I can't imagine him to be, like, a stooge for those guys. He's a prideful dude. I just don't know. Again, here's what I do now. Here's my. I just trade. Would you trade the two picks for Matt Rhule?
Listen, I would, but you know, it's two quick things before we go. I don't want McDuck because I'm afraid he's like Belichick or Belichick who basically goes, I want specific character guys, and I don't care if they're not the best player on the board, I'm one character guy. So that's long term, that doesn't work unless you have Tom Brady, okay? And I'm glad that Wentz and Doug got along. Actually, I'm upset they got along because if they didn't get along, we'd be picking first in the league. Like we would have the worst record. They got along and won 4 games. So I wish they didn't get along, and we'd be picking a quarterback right now. I mean, I don't understand that conversation yesterday. Look, I'm a guy of faith, right? None of my conversations, whether it's about business or family or friends, is my reference, I'm a man of faith. No. My faith tells me to be the best man I can be when I'm on site, whether it's in my job, whether it's with my family or with my friends or just general interactions with people.
Sure.
So always like a caller said yesterday, God can't always be the answer. God can't get blamed for everything in the world.
I feel like that's what's going on. I hear you, brother. Good stuff, Nikki. Yeah. Excellent. That was our conversation yesterday with Rob about, you know, well, Doug's a man of faith and Carson's a man of faith. And, come on, man. Like, I don't need you to, like, that's irrelevant to the conversation. Hey, God bless. I'm thrilled that you are, that you have that kind of faith. I admire it, okay? But that doesn't mean someone who is not as devout is not a good man either.
Right, exactly.
All right? And sometimes it comes across like that from people. And it's like, you know.
Hold on a second, listen, there, guy.
Like, I don't need you to just, it's all about faith. And listen, this is work, all right? It's football. You could be a good man, no matter how devout you are, but be a good football player. That's your vocation. If you want to go be under the umbrella of a man of faith, I admire that. But give back the money and go be a man of faith. I mean, I gotta be real here a little bit.
Now,
God can't be the, like he said, and I agree with it. You can't blame God on this.
Right, of course not.
Stop.
Now, can I bring something up to you? And I'm sorry, because I know you're trying to have like a good day today. But Brendan Casey just sent me a tweet. He goes, today is January 19th, 2021.
Dude, I know what day it is. I've ignored it. It's an anniversary.
He says, Eagles fans should just be happy it's not January 19th, 2003.
I know the anniversary. Why would you bring that up to me? I'm dealing with...
I got a buddy.
Like, seriously. We lost a member of the tribe, right? My buddy, his father, good man. And it reminded of his cousin, Vinny Bones, who I told you about, who was too young to pass away, and he did. And so that was, you know, a really difficult weekend. Then I told you about a friend of mine who calls me out of the blue and says, yeah, woke up. I went to sleep. 3 days later, I woke up in the hospital with a heart attack. And he completely had this life-changing occurrence. And he quit everything and going, you know, very traumatic. And then the conversation, talking about God and belief.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a whole other conversation. I was on the phone with him for a couple hours yesterday. And all I wanted to do was watch a hockey game. And the Flyers lose. And I woke up thinking about that. So, yeah, I know it's the anniversary of the Eagles-Tampa game. Last game of Veterans Stadium. But I was going to wait until I can emotionally handle that conversation.
Right. We'll put that one on ice then.
Understand?
Talk about next year.
The bleep I want to talk about that game for.
Oh, God.
That was the worst game in the history of Philadelphia sports for me. That and the flipping... one bloody nil against the Cardinals.
God, yeah.
But that game, was it 19 years ago? 18 years ago. 18 years ago. Today was the worst game. It was the worst game. It was my amazing childhood building, Veterans Stadium.
Yeah.
It was the last game that stinking think rat bastard Keyshawn Johnson, who we had on last week, right, Tampa Bay. Oh, you can't win unless it's on the 32 degrees. Blah, 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 blah. I'm beaten and it's getting the cold. And, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. And it was all a story. It was storybook.
Yes.
Remember, that was the year, right, where it was the last year between a week of the Super Bowl, right? They were going to go to San Diego. It was going to be an incredible moment. And if they win the game, they're going to play the Raiders, right? Who had a new coach. They win the game. All they got to do is beat the friggin' Buccaneers. They own the Buccaneers, that team. I love that team. I will tell you, I loved those early 2000 Eagles teams. 5-0. They were going to win it that year. And if they win it that year, everything's different. Andy Reid's still coaching here. Donovan's loved, and he's not, doesn't have any issues. It's the whole thing's changed if they win that moment. in that moment, in that game, because they're going to go beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl in San Diego. Remember what happened with the Raiders, that team.
Yep.
When they lost one of their offensive linemen who went AWOL, Barrett Robbins. Right? They Eagles win the game. No way in the world they lose that game. And all the fates change.
Blame Brennan Casey.
So you wanted to bring that up for me?
That's Brennan Casey.
Tyrone, you believe that? You had to bring that up, that memory, that bad memory. You remember. We were working together back then.
Tyrone was there, yeah.
Let's go to Dean.
Do you need a beer?
I do. I need a shot. Go get me a shot. Dean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dean.
Yo, how we doing today, gentlemen?
What's happening, my brother?
Nothing, man. I just got to tell you, I am so psyched up about this Matt Rhule. Like, whatever it is. I don't even care whether it's a possibility or not. I love Matt Rhule.
You sound like me.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's not going to happen. But, it was a barroom conversation.
Can't we dream?
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, Dean, so you got to give up a couple first-round picks. Oh, they already did that over the last 5 years.
Throw me the win, baby. Like, give me Matt Rhule.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm with you, man.
I just got to take 1 second out for my man, AC, because I heard him. Yo, all the respect in the world. There's people to talk to. Mad respect to him.
Yes,
and being outwardly vocal to that because we don't pay enough attention to that in this country. So.
And Dean, you're so right. And think about AC, right? Think about you're 17 years old and you're watching the Eagles game and your dad passes away.
Oh, dude, it's insane.
I mean, I want to hug him.
When he said that, I walked in the door into my mom. So I live on Frankfurt Avenue. Like I'm writing Fishtown. I walked in and my mom caught the end of it and her mouth dropped and my mouth dropped and we got all the, anyway.
Give me a favor. What's your mom's name?
Lucy.
I love Lucy.
She's been right here. She's been waiting on hold. We've been waiting on hold for the last 30 minutes, man.
Do me a favor. You got hi, sweetheart. Give her a big hug for me, would you, Dean? Give Lucy a big hug.
Oh, I'll give her a big hug right now. Here you go.
Hey, that's
big hug, eh?
Oh, I love it, Dean. Oh, the dog. Oh, that's beautiful. That makes me smile.
Yeah. No, we're just anyway.
Thank you, Dean.
I'm all about the Matt Rhule, dude. Let's go. Carson's got whole different set of issues and. And listen, man, I just want whatever is good for the Eagles, and I want whatever is good for the fan base. I think that we pay a lot of money, and we commit more than other fans around the NFL to the Eagles, and you know.
Yes, I know.
We're gonna get another schmooze. Like I'm sorry, Deuce Staley is not the answer.
I hear you,
it's
bro.
Not the answer.
I know one thing. I don't know the answer, right? Right? Yeah, no, I get
you. See the running game. Is anyone psyched about the running game? And
well,
I think that was
Doug's game plan, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Right? Here's what I do know, and I thank you, Dean, because you and Lucy brighten my day.
Oh, there we go.
All right. So, thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate it, my man.
I love you, man.
I love you too, buddy.
And the Tunis is good.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You did. First of all, any woman whose name's Lucy.
Oh, dynamite.
Is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Right? My buddy Tooch's mom was the Luce. Oh, my God. Lucy rules. That's a great name.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And I hear her in the background?
Yeah. She's all
happy.
She
sounded like a sweetheart. And then the dog was barking like that. Like, that's a good family.
Yes.
Fishtown. Good people. All right. Here you are. Tate, who walks in but Natalie?
Fishtown's finest.
That's right.
That's right. In the fishy.
By the way, for the other side, there's a report about what the cap could be for 2020.
Oh, yeah?
And just how much work the Eagles have.
That's good news.
In front of them.
They ought to trade their whole two drafts for Matt Rhule because they're going to be horrible anyway. Give him Fletcher Cox. Like, I would trade him everybody. Hey, you want Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox? Couple first-round picks. I'd give him choice of the roster for Matt Rhule. Take three players, whatever you want. To win now. All right. Listen, let's talk about life. Because it comes at us hard these days, right? So, we get stressed out. Things go on, the whole thing. Well, you need a way to recharge and refuel. Your body does. And this is where Xceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy comes into play. It's been a game changer, right? Here you go. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydration that you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, and replenish your reserves. We're talking about vitamins and nutrients and hydration administered by a board-certified nurse. So you know it's safe at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. It's the greatest thing in the world because it's like plugging your phone into the wall and recharging it. It's just like that. You get an IV of goodness. You got to check it out, man. Learn more about Xceva Vitamin Therapies. Visit Xceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. Xceva. Replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 1 o'clock. That's a good song. Across the Delaware Valley. Cause Radio Tunis. Hey, coming up, speaking of songs, there are two songs, like if you watch sports, you see all commercials, right? Like just, it's just part of it. And there are two songs, oddly, by the insurance company. It's not State Farm. It's the other one. What is it?
Allstate.
Allstate. Thank you. It's in Allstate. There's two songs from the Allstate commercials that I love when these commercials come on. For some reason, like, I love these songs. The one song I knew of, the other one I didn't.
Oh, you didn't know the other one?
I never knew the other one.
It's in, I think I've heard it in a movie before.
I've probably
Shocker, heard it. I've heard it in a movie.
Right. Put it like that, yes.
Right.
I heard it in a movie, right? And the other one I've heard, you know, because I'm a big fan of that sound.
Right.
But there's two songs that come, and I look forward to these commercials. So I hear the song. I'll play them for you coming up.
Okay.
Now you tell me if you like these commercials.
Yeah, of course.
If you like these songs. In fact, I want you to put them as returns for me because they make me feel good.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Let's go to Dane in Collegeville. Dane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dane.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's
thank
up, buddy?
You for taking my call. Nothing much. I definitely want to touch on mental health. Is something serious in the United States of America. Friends, family members are dealing with very, very serious issues. I think the pandemic has engulfed a lot of people.
Yes.
In a way that can't really even, you know, dig through at this point in time because it's so serious.
Yep. And we don't know the reaction. Like, you know, we suppress how we feel, right? And the long-term implications correct. Of a pandemic and not being able to see. I mean, think about this for a second, Dane, because you're so right, man. But think about the impact of not being able to hug your people you love.
It's literally something that, I mean, I've seen friends, family members, you name it, up and down. It's something that we've hid from, worldwide and definitely in the United States of America. You're like, oh,
stop being a softy, just, you know, get over it. But it's a bigger picture than that. And we as a country as a whole have to start to embrace and understand that it's bigger than just, oh, he's having a bad day, or, oh, he doesn't want to talk about something. That's one thing that was on my mind.
I'm glad you said that, Dan. I agree with you completely.
I said this to one of my buddies, Anthony, like, and this is in, like, right before Thanksgiving, that the Eagles remind me of As the World Turns, which is a soap opera. They laughed and they were like, yo, shut up. That's not real. But for what we've seen transpire and play out over the last 90 days, like, you have no other place to go to than to be like, well, wow, this is like a soap opera. And why is it that my $30 or $40 million quarterback is acting like an infant? My point of view on it is I don't hate Carson. I don't hate none of the pro A-type athletes in this city. What I want you to do is be great at your job and show up to work. To me, Carson Wentz was a big fish in a small pool. And once he got to where the really big dogs are that are going to eat his lunch, now I'm pissed off. Now I'm not getting my way. And I don't know Carson personally, but that's just
right.
The optics of me seeing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to touch on, and if you let me get this out, my friends make fun of me and say, oh, you hate Ben Simmons. Anthony, the other night when they passed that ball to Ben Simmons on the wing, he looked terrified to take that jump shot. I just got out of the barbershop.
The air ball one? The air ball?
I don't even care what it is, Anthony, but you can't, as a pro athlete,
I know, bro. Yeah.
12, whatever, scared to take a jump shot.
No, I hear you.
Have a good afternoon.
All right, brother. Good talking to you, man.
Almost made it 4 hours.
Yeah, I can't even argue this anymore. I can't, because, like, the other day, like, you could say he made the correct pass, right? But come on, dude. Like, it's not about the correct pass. It's about being the bleeping man.
It's the Kendrick Nunn thing all over again from last year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he kicked it out to
Grayson
Horford.
Got Grayson Allen on you. Go to the bleeping rim. Oh, God.
3 hours and 4 minutes we made it.
My cousin, right, who I always reference, Joey, who I love, he says, and he nailed it. He went, Ben is a dud. And you know.
Not a stud.
No.
A stud.
You know what he said? And it was like, because he loves Simmons the way I love Simmons too. Like, we go, oh my God. But it's true. He's a dud. Like, I can't even defend that. Like, I love the dude. But he's a dud. Like, dude, Dane's right. Go to the rim. I'm not asking you to go be Harden, right? I'm asking you, just go. You just can't be completely have an aversion,
right,
to going to the rim and scoring the ball. Like, a complete aversion. You just can't have that. I don't care if you don't drop 40 on and go be Hassa, you know, Hassa MVP. I don't need you to do that. I got an MVP in Embiid. I just need you to, you know, every once in a while, flay your teeth.
So, you know what a Hassa is, Frank?
By the way.
The worst thing I'm going to deal with now is that they won last night.
Uh-huh.
I want him to lose.
Out of safety, we will.
I want him to lose so bad. He, Kyrie. I kind of like Durant, so I can't even, right. You know, I have no hatred for Durant. But those other two, get the hell out of here with those two.
Can't wait for the Sixers to play him. See how.
But this
goes.
Is the point. The point is that, yo, Ben, go to the rim, Ben.
They didn't trade up. They didn't trade you for Harden. Look what Harden's doing.
Go win the game.
Hopefully this cheers you up a little bit. Doc Rivers speaking to the media. Joel Embiid is expected to play tomorrow. So hopefully that cheers you up. Seth Curry's still not back at practice. He must be battling with the COVID pretty hard.
I will tell you,
Okay.
That he seems to have checked out. And it seems to be ready with the rest of the team. And but we're waiting on Boston and the league to decide the game.
Wait, this is like on Seth Curry?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you said checked out at first, like,
No.
I'm done with this team. I was like, he's been here for 10 minutes.
No.
Okay, no, I got you.
Curry seems to have checked out.
Okay.
And he's ready along with the rest of the team.
Okay.
But that's we're good. Waiting on Boston and the league to decide the fate of the game.
Oh, well, I hope they play.
So me too. I'm dying for it. I need it.
I need the full team.
Yeah.
Just let me have some joy.
Right. Which is why now that I'm sure you can read between the lines that was like a half a report type of thing.
Right.
That I just make that up. Brendan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brendan.
Hey, man. How you doing, man?
What's happening, brother?
Hey, before I get started with the Eagles, man, I wanted to send positive vibes out to your buddy out there who experienced a heart attack, man. I hope he's doing better.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's, like the last caller said, you know, it's the mental health thing, especially in this time, it's tough, you know. So your show always provides us with like a nice warm place to
thank
feel.
Thank you. I wanted to.
Together.
I really, I mean, it's one of my, I always wanted to be a place, a haven where we can argue, but ultimately it's friends arguing and debating, and really it's Philadelphia and it's love.
Yeah, your comparison to it being, you know, like a bar set up is always something that I think of when I've been listening for the last 20 years. So
thank you, brother. I appreciate that, Brent.
Hey, my pleasure. But yeah, you know, speaking of stuff to look forward to, you wanted a list of 10, you know, what about, looking forward to getting this vaccine through to everybody and then hitting the ballpark on a August night, having a cold.
That's nice. Yes.
Just, you know, sit back and think about it.
I can transport. Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, right? That's something to look forward to. And hopefully you guys will get the hangouts going again, because I was looking forward to getting into that.
Yes, we will definitely do that for sure.
But yeah, you know, I wanted to touch on the Eagles real quick. You know, it's hard to say what to believe in the Carson thing. You know, whether smoke, there's fire, obviously. You know, the things that's been coming up for the past couple of years about Carson being difficult to work with. I thought it was interesting what Jeff said, though. You know, all of a sudden it seems like all the failed draft picks are Carson Wentz's friends. It seemed a little convenient.
I mean, he's talking to Ben Dillard? What?
These guys are out of TGI Fridays getting a burger.
JJ Arcega, Whiteside? Really?
You know, there was something that really telling that I caught in the interview that Jeff said, and man, he said, and I had to write this down because it really just blew me away. He said, regarding the coaching search, they think they're going to find someone who will blow them away that no one else has heard of. Is that like the motto of the Eagles, like when it comes to drafting, acquiring personnel?
Right. It's smarter than the room syndrome. Right. So here's my advice. If you want to shock the world and go be smarter than everybody in the room, go make Carolina an offer they can't refuse and bring Matt Rhule here.
Yeah, give me Nick Saban.
Brendan, thank you for the smile, brother. Appreciate it, my man.
My pleasure. Take you always bring one to my face.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, really, he's right. You quote that too, didn't you, Tunis?
I did. He is right.
So, listen, if you want to go be Mr. Smartest Man in the Room, all right, we'll go call Carolina, make them an offer they can't refuse, bring in Matt, and let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but hey.
Well, it's not going to happen, but you get my point of you want to go with a no-name.
Yes.
Well, give me somebody I know that can coach. And, oh, by the way, you know, you're already... You already donated your picks the last 3 years.
Right.
So, whatever.
Might as well do it, right?
All right, you got some news for me. Vaccine
news? Yeah, so I was just about to bring that up because the caller just brought it up regarding going to the ballpark after the vaccine. This breaking from about 15 minutes ago, the Pennsylvania health officials announced Tuesday that anyone 65 and older or in high-risk health categories is now eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccination. They're going to be following similar moves in states like New Jersey. New Jersey is moving on to step 1C, I believe, right now. So a good sign because Pennsylvania is really dragging their feet for a little bit. But
we were joking yesterday, I guess over the weekend about, hey, go get Amazon to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Train the Amazon drivers to do it because they're the most efficient company in the country.
Yeah. But so that's a good sign that that's step one, the 65 or older, and then people with the health conditions. That's a good sign for Pennsylvania. But the other thing that we were talking about earlier is the salary cap. So this is from NBC Sports.com, Mike Florio and all them. There is a source that believes the salary cap could be right around $180 million. The first thought was below 175. But now they're saying $180 million. So the Eagles have some work to do because the Eagles are about 250. They're around $250 million with their cap. They have a lot of work to do. This is according to like the SpotTrack, OverTheCap.com, all these websites, but they all have a similar number, right around $250 million. So they got to get it down quite a bit.
Holy moly.
Howie? Got us into this mess.
They're going to be horrible.
It's time to get us out.
Well, get us out where?
Yeah,
they're going to be terrible.
Get ready for more Nate Gary. I mean, that's where we're at this point.
Yeah.
All of these guys are going to get more playing time.
All right. So real quick. So if you like me and it's my happy place, especially since the pandemic, I can't go and, hug my cousins and friends and family and do all that. And my kids, I love to just go, dads, come in, watch a game with me. We, I like songs, right? Like, I watch sports. So there's this Allstate commercial, two of them, with these songs that for some reason I look forward to these commercials. Now you tell me, yay or nay, first one is the French song. You know, now, Tunis, have you heard this song?
Yes, I have.
Non, rien de rien.
Right?
It's beautiful.
Non, I love this song.
No, it's great. And they do a great job because it's everything's on top of the roof of the car.
Right.
So it's a perfect song the commercial. The guy with the fish.
Shaking.
The fish in the bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Right?
No, I love this song.
And I love the song. I feel like I'm in Paris.
Yes.
And I'm having a nice espresso and one of those, what's it called? They're like a pancake. They're unbelievable. I can't believe, I can't even think of it. They're these crepes. They're the chocolate covered crepes.
Oh, okay.
Anthony loved it. And when we took Anthony there.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he loved it.
Nah, this is a beautiful song, man.
It is.
I had a great teacher, so I took French for like 5 years. So, I actually was okay at it, and then obviously you stop practicing it, so you stop, you forget everything. But I had a great teacher in high school, Mr. Carter, who would play this once a week. So I know this song from high school.
Really?
He'd play a different French song every day. So I've known this for a few years now.
Because
it hit me. I was like, why do I know this song? I was like, oh, my God, Mr. Carter's class.
All right. So when the commercial comes on, I go, I like this commercial.
Yeah.
Right? But then they have another one. And it's weird because it's Allstate and they roll with Smokey. And it's like flyers. Come on, man. Does it get cooler than Smokey?
You're singing the rest of the day. You're singing the rest of the day after you hear it once.
I got you. I love this era of music, right? Like that soul, Philly sound. I dig it. Like I've always liked it. It puts me in a good spot, like good place.
Right.
But as a commercial, when I hear it, I go, Smokey was cool, man. Like that groove. And it's so bizarre That, those two, they're both Allstate commercials.
Right, right. And you hear them 8 times a game each.
Dude, you watch a football game?
Yeah.
You watch 100 times. And it's amazing because... Yeah, leave it play, man. Because it doesn't get on my nerves. Usually I see the same commercial over again. It bothers me. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Like spring day.
Oh my God! Step, yeah,
with a quart of beer, I'll be happy.
By the way, the lyrics to the French song.
Yes.
No, absolutely nothing. No, I regret nothing. Not the good things that have happened, nor the bad. It's all the same to me. I regret nothing.
That's beautiful, man. I'd love it.
It's good work.
That is great work. That is great work. Let's go to Joe. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, my brother?
Two quick Eagles points about, I think we got to realize Wentz don't want to be here, man. He doesn't. That's why he's not talking. That's why he's not saying nothing. I think he don't want to be here. And the Eagles just might as well suck it up and get the draft pick or whatever they can get for him because he doesn't want to be here. And when Jeffrey Lawyer talking about assets and it takes 12 months to get somebody else out, disqualify a contract, it doesn't sound like, welcome back language. I think it's like if this story is true, I think this is too big of a fall for grief for him to come back. I think he really wants out. And
I got to tell you, if that's true, Joe, then my response is, Four letters. All right?
Uh-huh.
G-T-F-O. That's my response if he wants to get out. If he wants out.
Hey, yeah, because I think if he really wants to stay here,
G-T-F-O. All right? Yep. I got no time for any more drama. Oh, it's a sin. You're so upset because they paid you $170 million? Seriously, at some point, you got to go, hey, dude, take it down the street, man. Get out right with that nonsense.
And I think I'm trying to think Jalen Hurts' pick might have been just a strike at him, maybe, period. Just a personal, Maybe, I'm not saying that they didn't think he was a talented guy, but maybe there was a check on him. If he had that much power that, McClain and saying he had, maybe there was a check on him. And as far as coaching, man, I say, if you want to interview the Dallas Cowboys special teams coach and all, why not hire Deuce Staley? I mean, he's worked with Jeffrey Lurie for over 20 years. Yeah. He's been under 3 different coaching staffs. He definitely has the respect of the players and the team. And y'all get on, for saying he was in the NFL. But that means a lot. I mean, to me, Jeffrey Lurie is not impressed by these huge resumes and these gimmick guys and these characters and, all these coaching characters to come along. He hired Andy Reid as a quarterback coach. He hired Doug as an offensive coordinator who didn't even call plays. So I don't think that's big on Lurie's, on his list of what he's
looking at. I mean, listen, again, I don't know Deuce as a coach. God bless.
God bless the Cowboys special teams coach.
Well, I don't. I mean, you think I want that guy? I don't think so.
No, but we've done
first of all, you take a look at him.
No.
He looks like Skeletor. I can't do Skeletor on my sidelines every night, man. I'm sorry. Joey, take care, bud. I can't go. It's Skeletor every day. Skeletor. Jonas? Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I figured this would be a nice song to take us into break.
Yes.
Instead of any hardcore.
Yes. Isn't that nice?
This is nice.
Vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Smokey's the best.
Yeah, he is. He's my favorite.
Yeah, you like Smokey?
Oh, I love Smokey.
Yeah. I feel like you have a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, Smokey's really one of my favorites. Don't make fun of me, Andrew. I have taste.
Cuz Radio Tune is 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sorry, I was cruising too much that I forgot to tell you about your read. I was lost in the music, man.
Hey, that's good, man.
We get closer and closer.
There you go, Nat. Let's talk a little Parks Casino, Street Road, Bend, Salem. Yes, that's right. Hey, listen, you want to bring home that Park Sportsbook, you got it. It's absolutely fabulous. You can bring it right home to your living room. Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem. You know what I love about Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem? It's the hometown 4-for-4 sportsbook. Yep. So they spotlight, and I already told you about the Joel Embiid MVP cuss special bet, but tonight, Fly Guys in action, and they got a million ways to bet the Fly Guys. They are minus 150 on the money line, minus a puck and a half on the puck line. Check it out tonight. Also, Villanova back in action. 9.5-point favorites against Seton Hall. I love it. I love it. The Cats back. And all the games on Sunday. You can check out all the lines. You can bet on all the prop bets they have. Incredible stuff. Check it out. Easy deposits. Great odds. Outstanding customer service right here in Bucks County. All right, listen, new customers, sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. All you got to do is download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. You're all hooked up. Bet with the home team. Pennsylvania's home team sports betting app. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, 1:30 across the Delaware Valley. So, guys, you never know. The beauty about doing the show is how you just connect people. People just kind of connect, and it's an awesome thing. It's one of the things that I'm fascinated by is the connection of people. And you just had one.
Yeah, just got an email from the great Mr. McKercher, who was still is a teacher at my high school, but he was there. I think he was just a student teacher when I was in high school. I may be wrong, but he was actually, I had the same homeroom. Like, he shared the same classroom as another teacher, my homeroom teacher. So I've known him for a long time, and he emailed me a few weeks ago about a Sixers topic, and we were going back and forth. But he's listening right now, and that French song is in the movie Inception.
With DiCaprio.
And I just
played. Which is a great move.
Right. It's fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen it in so long, but he has such a good ear because I just watched the scene and it's just in the background. Like, it's not like it's a big part of the scene.
Really?
So I'm like, damn, you got a good ear there, my man. He's also a great basketball coach.
Really?
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Clearview Pioneers varsity men's basketball team.
Nice. Yeah, so.
Shout out to you, Mr. McKercher.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I remember it was like all the rage when it came out, so I watched. It was a long movie. I remember that, it being so long.
So it is, you ready? I just pulled it up. Yeah, it's in 148 minutes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Dom Cobb. That's a great name.
It's an awesome
Leonardo DiCaprio is a thief with the rare ability to enter people's dreams and steal their secrets from their subconscious.
Right.
His skill has made him a hot commodity in the world of corporate espionage, but has also cost him everything he loves. Cobb gets a chance at redemption when he is offered a seemingly impossible task. Plant an idea in someone's mind. If he succeeds, it will be the perfect crime. But a dangerous enemy anticipates Cobb's every move. That's awesome. I gotta go back and watch it.
That was a good movie.
It was.
And I remember at the end, you don't know if he's still awake or not. The thing was still spinning, and they, you know.
Right.
Cliffhanger there.
I love those movies, but like a thief. Like, that's, but he steals people's
thoughts. Love a thief, but you love the agent, too. You're a big agent, man.
I am, yes.
And you're a big thief, man.
I am.
So you look at both sides of the spectrum here, and you're a big fan.
I do. I like international thieves.
Yes.
Right. I like a thief who goes in international, just parts of. I sometimes put on a movie just to see the background.
I could see you doing that.
All right. I'm so weird. And in fact, last night, after I was watching the Flyers.
And you watched Vegas.
And then I had Vegas on. And I swear to God, I did this. For It was the end of the first period, and I was like, I don't want to watch intermission. Right. So I turned on Inferno, which takes place in Florence.
Right.
That character, that whole character, Inferno, the Robert Langdon is the character. He's the symbologist. Tom Hanks is in it. Anyway, the Dan Brown books. So it's all about Dante's Inferno.
Right.
So it's all in Florence.
Right.
So I turned it on just so I could see
Florence,
Italy.
Now I remember, I listened closely to you. During the beginning months or beginning days of the pandemic.
When I was watching Italy?
Yes. Yeah. You were so bored. You watched the guy's video. Like it was on
Vespa.
It was on one of those, the drones.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Just the overhead shot.
It was a walking tour.
I'm sorry.
It was a walking tour. And yes, he had a GoPro like on his head.
Yeah.
Right? And then he just walked the streets. And I literally was enamored by it. I couldn't stop watching it. And all is just walking through the streets.
Now, I'll tell you, so my wife got the Peloton, the bike.
Yes.
And I've been using it a lot. I'm hooked. I'm obsessed because you're trying to beat people and whatnot because I take the competition to the next level. But you can do scenic rides where there's no like person telling you what to do. You're just riding. So I rode through the Everglades the other day.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm just having a blast.
Oh, dude, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm down for that.
Go to the Everglades.
You see any crocs?
Yeah.
You saw a couple crocs?
I saw some animals out there, yeah.
I did
the glaciers one day. That was kind of cool.
Dude, I'm down with that. I'm totally down with that.
It's like, I was tired of getting yelled at by the instructor. I was like, let me...
Yeah, I got no interest in that. I got more interest in the scenic view.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But the virtual dude yelling at you.
I've actually really enjoyed it, but I needed a break.
That's great. I love that. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening, my brother?
Not much. So talk about the coaching search.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get whoever's going to listen to what these two guys got to say. I mean, you know, you got two old spots open and you're still, you know, interviewing coordinators from the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, special teams coaches. If they want McDaniel, just get McDaniel. But the problem with McDaniel is I don't think he's going to, you know, take all the nonsense where these two got a medal in the draft and everything and you know, personnel. And God forbid if, you know, they tell McDaniel, well, you can't play this guy this week because you got to get this guy more plays because we're paying him $12 million because we messed up his contract. You know what I mean? McDaniel's, I don't think we'll go for that. Now, Deuce, I don't know what Deuce can do. Like, who is Deuce Staley? You know what I mean? He's a running backs coach. We don't hear a word from all year since he's been here coaching. I don't know his philosophy.
Right.
I think he's
sentimental, right? Like he's a sentimental choice.
Yeah, well, he's an Eagle, so he's got that little soft spot. Everybody's got that soft spot for him. Like, give Deuce a chance, you know what I mean? But I don't know if Deuce could coach. I mean, I don't think he does a good job with rotating the running backs because I think Sanders don't get enough touches, and he's not in enough. He gets taken out too soon for Boston Scott and Corey Clement, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I want Joe Brady. That's who I want. And, you know, I wouldn't give up a 6-round pick for Matt Rhule, your little hypothetical thing either, because you give Carolina the sixth pick. They got the sixth and the eighth, and then
I don't care.
I know you don't, but I would never do that.
By the way, you're not going to be good forever.
I know we're not, but you still can't give away all these first round picks. I mean, even though we don't pick first round picks good to begin with, but, you know, you got to try to build.
At least you don't have to worry about a coach.
I know. Well,
he comes in and he'll build you something.
Like I said, you only have two teams, and I think we're more attractive than Houston because Houston may not have a quarterback. We still do have a quarterback, but
I'd rather go coach Deshaun Watson than.
But he might not be there. They ain't even asking him for any input. Like, he wants input, and they're not even letting him.
Well, if I went to Houston, and I got offered a job, first thing I'm doing is going to Deshaun Watson.
He has to be there. Yeah, right.
Yo, buddy, listen.
Exactly.
I love you.
Now, somebody brought up Ben earlier. He reminds me of the kid that's on the end of the bench in a like JV game that when he gets in and gets the ball, he don't know what to do with it, whether it's then he wants like dribble or shoot. It's a shame. I think he's a poor man's Lamar Odom right now, and that's always going to be. He's not going to get better. He's just he is what he is. I can't defend him.
I'm done. I can't defend him, so whatever.
I know, but I mean, it's crazy. Mm. He's never going to average 20 points a game, which he don't need to, but he's just not going to shoot. I mean, his
right. It doesn't even come down to averages. It doesn't come down. It comes down to you can't be an Achilles heel. That's what it comes down to.
Right. You have to. I mean, when teams are sagging on him, Embiid's getting triple teamed now. I mean, come on, really?
I agree with you. I
can't even step up and hit a 12-footer or even attempt to shoot it.
I get you.
So
I get you.
You know, it's going to be a long season with Ben, but hopefully.
All right. Well, maybe I don't know. I can't be done. Like you can't have this attitude of I think we got this attitude like, well, it is what it is. We're gonna go down, it's gonna be a second round exit. I just can't punt on my season. You understand, Andrew? I can't punt on my season.
No, I mean that would suck to just punt on your season because you know your roster completely stinks.
It doesn't. Listen, I know. Like, as is, listen, I don't disagree with anybody, what anybody says about Simmons and how he could beat Achilles heel. I get it. But if Beat's playing like an MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
You got shooters around him. I would move Maxey to the starting lineup. I'd bring Curry off the bench with Shake. They fit nice. Howard, those three fit nice. And I got Maxey. And Danny Green's a perfect spot-up shooter with Maxey. All right? I mean, that's how I would play it. Maxey can create his own shot. Give the rook a shot in the starting lineup.
Yeah, now he's your secondary ball handler, which is what we've been talking about for years that the Sixers need.
Who's supposed to be Fultz.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Markel.
But that's all right. I would do Maxey. I just don't want to punt on the season. I don't want to lose that excitement. It's like ever since the non-trade, it feels like...
People are down.
Yeah.
Well, and then the last game when you lose to Memphis without Embiid, what's the first thing that people said? Oh, well, Harden would have helped you win that game. And meanwhile, he's balling out with Brooklyn through two games, and that's what all people are looking at.
Yeah.
Now, I can't help but also look at it, right? I saw last night's game.
I can't go into the Harden thing. You're going to make me curse again.
Oh, I did. I was watching him. I was like, all right. No, that would have been nice.
I cursed again. You made me curse.
You didn't curse earlier.
Huh?
You didn't curse.
You don't think it's a curse?
Nah. I think that's the more appropriate way of saying it.
Yeah. Let's talk to Black Gritty, my man, BG. Black Gritty, blackgritty.com.
First things first, will make you feel better about that Harden thing. Harden and KD are like Diet Coke. Wait till you put Kyrie back in there. He's going to be like a Mentos pill, bro. They gonna explode, bro. It's going to be so bad. So get out here 33, 44, great. Where's Kyrie's numbers at, okay? So let's just wait and see how the bench looks in deep playoff runs when people get tired because you know Harden always just, it's all right because we good. We good on that. Don't worry about it. Secondly, as far as Eagles are concerned, I'm not trying to get on Carson Wentz because – Your coach didn't defend you when you got a concussion. He pillow talked to your idol twice on you. Like, yeah, he didn't say bye to him or whatever. But I'm like, dude, you're out here pillow talking to my idol. Got him trash talking to me. The whole organization right now, I'm trying to do a hard reset. I don't know about this McDaniels thing. I don't want a Patriot Nation cheater on my roster. Like, I don't even know. But I'm like, at this point, there's so much trash talking and backstabbing. I'm like, yo, can we just get to, like, the offseason? Just pick a coach. And let's get somewhere where we can stop talking about everybody talking about somebody. Because it's just, you Google around the world, no other team's had this kind of issue like this, where everybody drives except for Houston, the Texans probably. The Texans kind of have our same issue right now. But the rest of the league.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, they're real. They're a step above us for sure. We're like second tier right now. But I'm like, it's just bad. I just want to get to a point where we don't have to deal with any of this. Like, go get me a coach. And then see where we're going from there and get it moving. But I can't be mad at Carson for being upset with the way this organization's been run.
All right, like, but here's the thing, though. You bring up some good points, Black Gritty. But I can't stop acting like a baby.
All right.
I mean, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you know, come on, man. Man up a little bit for once.
And at the same time, we got people dry snitching. So I don't know exactly what.
I don't know. I mean, but here's the thing: like, is he really go act like a quarterback? Come speak to us. And by the way, this whole thing did nobody. He don't need to speak. I'm sorry. Go act like a quarterback. I thought a quarterback. Would it be good if he cleared the air? Were you for his teammates?
That's what he does, whatever.
I mean, come on.
Last year we had the same issue off season, right? Everybody was writing the reports, and then they waited till you come back in and you say thing. You got whole PR people running the thing and doing the thing. I don't know, but I know you're upset right now, and I don't do drugs, but I want to ask you if you could hook me up. Can we get some more of them penguins, though? Can we get some more of them penguins back? I'm trying to get another sniff of them penguins, homie. I'm out here.
I think tonight will be a better story.
I believe so, too. I was like, I need to hit it in penguins, dog.
I know, man. I want to beat them again.
We're going to do it, brother. We're going to do it. Good talking to you.
BG, pleasure, brother. Pleasure. All right. It's time for the daily number. You know what? I do like the Flies. I had them last night. There was a loser. I'll come back and double down with them tonight. I think they're going to score. I think they're going to win the game. I think they should win the game rather handily.
Yeah, I think the Flyers come back.
They were a dud last night.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with the Flyers.
This is my cousin's phrase about Ben.
Well, yeah, it's a good phrase.
It was a dud game.
Yeah, it was. But I'm with you. I'm going to go with the Flyers tonight.
You're going to go Fly Guys.
Yep, Fly Guys. I'm also going to go with the hated Rangers. They're hosting the Devils tonight. Rangers 156, minus 156 on the money line. So I like the Rangers.
Like the Rangers. I like the Caps. Against the Pens.
As a dog. You like the dog Caps, huh?
I do. I think Laviolette has them playing. And you know him, he gets a lot out of here early. And they look good. So I'll take the Cats over the Penguins. I still don't know about how good the Penguins are.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'm also going to go with the late game, the Colorado Avalanche. But they're a monster favorite, minus 250, right?
You're going to go Lance?
I'm going to go Lance.
Lance, pick up Lance.
I'm going to take them the goal and a half. Because the Kings, you know, they're all right and all.
Kings stink.
They're all right and all.
No, the Lynch. Kings are horrible. I agree with you.
Lynch also haven't played since last Friday when they put up 8 goals against the Blues.
Yeah, McKinnon.
The Lynch are ridiculous.
So I like
Colorado to cover the goal and a half tonight.
I like that. That's a good pick. I like the Pelicans. Plus 5.5. They got embarrassed.
There's really only 2 games tonight?
Yeah.
Jeez.
OKC Denver. I like that. And last night we had the Warriors outright over the Lakers.
That was a great call by you, man.
As 8.5-point dogs. I like New Orleans tonight. They were so bad. They got drilled by the Lakers the other night.
Yeah, they did. All right, I'm going to stay. There's only 2 games, so I'm going to play one. I'll go with the over in that game. 217.5 is a low number, which should probably tell me something.
Yes.
Scoring's been down a little bit in a lot of games. Not like the, you know, when James Harden's playing, but in other games, scoring's been down.
Right.
I think shooting's been off because of all the COVID going on and whatnot. But 217.5, low number, 2 teams that can light it up. I'm going to take the over there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you.
And then I like Denver. I know it's a big number, but I like Denver.
Let's go to Drew. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Drew.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about the coach situation a little bit. I want to mention about Deuce Staley because I heard a couple of callers mention him. I like Deuce in theory. I mean, he's a leader. He has the players' respect. And he's a good coach. But the issue is he really has no experience calling plays.
He would get a coordinator for that. He'd get an offensive coordinator to call plays.
Well, right, but then you're going to have somebody, you know, I get that part. But just to go in a totally different direction, it's a crazy thought. You can tell me if you think this is crazy. Another couple of other candidates. I mean, obviously there's, you know, Josh McDaniels, and he's offensive coordinator. You know, he's pretty smart guy, a lot of knowledge of the game, great at preparation. I'm just reading about the candidates. Maybe not all that relatable to players, hard to say. And then the other guy is Gerard Mayo, who is young, but
38, defensive coordinator.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
very hardworking and very relatable to the players as well. I mean, he was a Pro Bowl linebacker for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So here's my crazy idea. Josh McDaniels is head coach and Gerard Mayo is defensive coordinator.
That's not crazy at all. In fact, people have thought that that would be the case, that if he came,
okay,
he would bring Mayo that as the D.C. No, that's actually out there as a possibility.
Yeah, because one of them is clearly offensive-minded. The other is clearly defensive-minded.
Well, remember, you're going to have to build a whole staff, right? So,
right,
in theory, you have a head coach, you need an O.C., you need a D.C., you need a special teams guy, and then you need all your position coaches, right? So you can do it however you want. I don't think there's no formula. I don't think you have to be an offensive coordinator and call the plays as the coach. It doesn't really matter how you do it.
Right.
Now, you know, McDaniels, I don't know. I'm lukewarm on him because,
yeah,
I guess he's smart, but I don't know. He failed in Denver. So, you know, I don't know how good a coach he is. I mean, I think he is, but what do I know? Reed, I got like 20 seconds, brother.
No worries, brother.
How you doing, man?
Well, yeah, I'm good. Real quick. So, Josh McDaniels, I'm kind of lukewarm on him, but Belichick failed at Cleveland and
yeah, I mean, that's England true. Yeah.
1-6.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, though, that Inception was the worst movie ever, bro. I got to tell you.
All right, let's talk about this tomorrow, all right? Let's do it tomorrow. I would love that. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Listen. It's not promised, all right? So enjoy it. Cuz Radio with Chunis, we love you. Thanks for hanging. Stay tuned, Mikey Miss, Tyrone Nat coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.